Energon is garbage. I hate Energon.
Energon is a bunch of robots standing in space shooting each other but never hitting anything.
And yelling, transform!
The only good thing about Energon is, what was it? I even forgot the only good thing. I already forgot the only good thing.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars that came here to Earth, caught in their struggle through the whole universe. Robotic warriors give it their all, fight in disguise to the victors. There's hope. Transformers.
This is Transformers for your listening pleasure with Guard Convoy, Insane Galvatron, Mirai Baby, Natsume Ryu, Sideburn 2, TFR Cool, and your host,
Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure, episode number 34, or episode number 1, however you want to look at it. If you've been a listener to Geek Existence Transformers, we went about 33 episodes, and we went on hiatus about 6 to 7 months ago. And now we're back with a new look and a new crew. A little bit bigger and a little bit better. Hopefully everyone that's listening will enjoy the new podcast and what we have to offer. Hopefully maybe a little bit edgier than before. Maybe a little bit funnier. but our episode enumeration will continue from where we left off. With the Geek Existence Transformers podcast. You can still listen to the archived episodes on geekexistence.com, and I believe they're still available on iTunes. However, I do think we are going to start a new feed for this particular iteration of the podcast. So hopefully you'll sit back and enjoy this one, and hopefully we'll enjoy recording it. So without further ado, we'll introduce the cast here that we have available. There's two other members that will be joining us from time to time, but they could not be with us tonight. However, we'll start with, let's go with ladies first. Natsume?
Yeah, hello. Yes, I am Natsume Ryu, or however you want to pronounce it. I go by a lot of names. I really don't have a lot to say. I'm the person who records all those video gameplay videos on YouTube, and, yeah, that's me.
How long have you been in the fandom?
I've probably only been in the fandom since probably, like, 2008, I think. I didn't even know, like, I've been with Transformers since, like, back at Beast Wars. That's when I liked it, right? That's when I grew up with it. But I didn't know there was a fandom until, like, 2008, and the movies came out, and I sort of, you know, the internet was available to me. I was no longer a child watching some show. I was like, oh, internet, let's look up Transformers. And lo and behold, there's all these fan sites and all of these people who talk about Transformers nonstop, and there's news websites, and there's a feed, and there's actual stuff that goes on all the time.
Wow. So so you've been basically a fan since Beast Wars, and what's your favorite line and what's your favorite toy?
Oh, you gotta make it hard.
Put you on the spot.
Nexus, yeah. Maximus.
I don't have a whole bunch of toys. I'm not a collector per se. I have probably about 50 or so, I want to say. It's mostly movie toys, because I really love the aesthetic of the movies. I also have a bunch of Generations toys, and a couple now of the Prime figures. My favorite one... That's a hard one.
Nexus Maximus.
Well, what I really love about the figures, what I really love about the toys, is the engineering. So, to say that one is my favorite is really difficult. But I really love the Human Alliance line, so I'm going to go with Human Alliance Jazz. Yeah, he was a pretty good toy.
I think he's pretty awesome, too. Now, you and Mirai Baby also, Mirai Baby is also involved with the podcast. She's one of them that cannot be with us tonight. You and she are involved in another aspect of the fandom, which we will discuss frequently on this podcast. It's generally not spoken of on podcasts, to my knowledge. All the podcasts that I've listened to, you don't hear much about it. Could you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, totally. I'm thinking about the way you're working up the audience here. I'm like trying to lead them on, and now they're wondering what we're talking about.
Yeah.
What we're talking about is costuming. We're part of a forum called Trans Costumers. So we are the people who you see at the conventions and just randomly walking around taking photo shoots in really cool looking places dressed up as robots. We are humans in disguise, as we like to say. So
well put.
I don't know how what to say about it, except that we really love obviously we really love Transformers. And a lot of us happen to be female for some really weird reason.
I don't know about other guys, but I have very little expertise whenever it comes to actually making costumes and things like that. I guess it's I never grew up and learned how to sew or anything like that. So maybe that's why, I probably should have learned.
But I was. That's the same thing that keeping me from costuming, except I kind of learned something from Natsume and Mirai Baby this year at BotCon, is I don't have to sew to make a costume. So
right.
I may actually take a whack at that Galvatron costume before next year.
Yeah, for what it's worth, I don't think I can sew. I mean, I've done a couple things like in the past, but none of it has been costuming related. And even if you see some of the cloth costumes, like a bunch of the Transformers animated costumes or fabric covering other stuff, like Velocity, she's done all three different versions of her same RC, Transformers animated RC costume, which is fabric over like fun foam, and she does not sew any of it. It's all hot glued on there.
And it looked fantastic. Yeah. She had a couple costumes at BotCon this year, and they looked fantastic. I think Mirai Baby's was probably the best, in my opinion. Although your Rampage was fantastic as well, but Mirai Baby, her Transformers Prime Breakdown, the shininess of the material that she used, the angular—I mean, it just worked on all levels for me personally. But everybody's costume that I saw there, I don't think anybody had a really bad costume. I don't think.
Well, we won't say much about the store-bought ones then, because I know that.
well, I'm talking about the ones that obviously, people had actually put time into making. Not talking about the ones that they just went down to Halloween City and purchased for $29.95 and threw it on and came to the con. The people like Natsume and Mirai Baby actually put forth hard work and dedication into these costumes, and whenever I first saw it at my first convention, I thought it was a little bit strange. People that wanted to put on costumes that look like robots,
I remember you telling me you thought that was crossing the nerd line.
Yeah, well, it's I feel the same, as much as I love Star Trek, I feel the same way about Star Trek. You know, I love Star Trek. I would love to go to a convention for Star Trek. As a matter of fact, I'm going to try to go in June. There's one in Nashville, and I'd like to go to that one. But I have no compunction whatsoever to dress up like a Klingon or Commander Data or anything, but that's not to say that there's anything wrong with it.
Not that there's anything wrong with it.
No, it's not that. It's the fact that I understand now through Natsume and Mirai Baby and Velocity and Greylay, all the dedication that it incorporates, and the fact that it's another area of the fandom that I really never thought about. I mean, you know, as a kid, to be honest, there was a few times I wished that I had a Megatron costume. I remember in school, I would take like this really long poster board and like roll it up and tape it, and then tape it on my arm, and it was my arm cannon for Megatron. And, you know, in a way, that's kind of the spirit that I see the cosplayers now. You know, it's actually getting to be a character that you love. And I don't find it as strange anymore, if that makes any sense.
Which is why I want to dress up as Commander Riker and go to that Star Trek.
Well, and it's actually because...
I have a beard for it.
It's actually because of all this that I've actually had thoughts of, you know, of trying my hand at making maybe a Prime Megatron costume. But like I said, I'm not very crafty when it comes to something like that, so I'm a little timid at trying it. But I have signed up on the Trans Costumers board, and I'm going to lurk a little bit, and who knows, maybe in the coming months or years or so, maybe I'll work up enough nerve to actually do it. And it's great to have friends that have been doing it for a while that I can bounce ideas off of, and they can kind of help. So, you know, I mean, if you haven't really given thought to costuming, check out these guys and girls at the con that are doing it. I think they're actually having more fun than everybody else, to be honest, because I was able to follow and help Natsume and Mirai Baby both a little bit at the con, and there's a lot of work involved. You know, people stopping you every 5 feet. Ooh, I want a picture. Ooh, I want a picture. Ooh, I want a picture. But, you know, a lot of it were kids, you know, and ultimately that's what this fandom is about, is kids. You know, without kids, 10, 15, 25 years down the road, there will be no Transformers fandom. So, you know, watching the kids and their eyes light up, you know, a character that they may recognize from the movie or from the television shows is standing right in front of them. That's pretty cool, actually. So, you know, if you haven't given Transformers costuming a thought, think again. Kind of look at it, and it's going to be a regular occurrence on our podcast. These girls, and hopefully guys, we can get on talking about it from time to time, and shedding a little more light on it, and maybe we'll see an influx of more costuming in upcoming conventions. I think that would be awesome, personally. What do you guys think?
Like I said, I want to work on my Galvatron costume. I want to debut that.
I have to get Amber to come to BotCon.
Yes, I told her that, didn't I?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, she had some issues this year, didn't she?
I've got a year to work on it, because we'll be at least a year away from the next BotCon.
Yeah. Well, moving on, let's introduce another member of our cast, Cyburn 2. You want to tell us about yourself and what got you into the fandom and all that fancy stuff?
Okay. So, like Darren said, I'm Cyburn 2, also known as Onyx Prime around the internet, and I got into Transformers with Beast Wars. I was in elementary school back then, and they were just awesome to me, you know? And I didn't really start collecting until Robots in Disguise, when I found Durin on the internet, and he had a little Transformers message board, and I realized you can collect Transformers. And so my collection has taken off since.
One other thing I meant to ask, going back to Natsume real quick, let's kind of mention where we are from and where we currently live, basically, to kind of give an idea. You know, we're not just a local thing here. We're actually recording across the nation. Yeah, you don't have to give specific location if you don't want, but...
Yeah, we don't want your street address.
Yeah. But where are you located, Natsume?
Right now, I'm actually in Texas, about an hour north of where BotCon was held this year in Dallas. which was nice because I got to drive. I'm from, like, I grew up in Las Vegas, Nevada, so yeah, big
and,
difference.
And thank you. I always called it Nevada, but it's Nevada.
Well, yeah, when they announced somebody's name who won one of the door prizes at BotCon, and they're like, however they pronounce it, and I'm like, no, it's Nevada. Everybody, all the locals, we all make fun because everybody like on television is always like Nevada. We're like, no, it's Nevada.
I've always heard it as Nevada. You know,
it's like
Nevada, Nevada, potato, potato.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. It's like you get to like I don't know. There's a town called Caliente, right? It's like hot in Spanish,
Caliente.
Right? But some people call it Caliente. So it just, yeah, the people who live there, that's what they, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the people who live there, they're the ones who get to call it the name of what it is, and that's they're right because they live there.
Oh yeah. Okay, going back to Cyburn 2, where are you located?
I'm in Orlando, Florida. More specifically, I'm in Ocoee, Florida, but no one knows where Ocoee is, so I'll just say I'm in Orlando, Florida.
Native Floridian?
Yeah, I was born here. My parents are from Missouri and Iowa, so I've got northern parents, but I've grown up in the South.
So what's your... I know you mentioned that you came in during Beast Wars and... started collecting during Robots in Disguise. What exactly is your favorite line and maybe your favorite figure?
Oh my goodness. Well, I would say probably my favorite line is animated, even though I'm a big Beast Wars fan. But favorite figure, that's just so hard. There's like
that's what she said.
Nexus Maximus.
I don't know. Oh my goodness. Come back to me on that one.
I told you guys before the podcast. We were going to make this so smooth. I told you before the podcast.
Too busy making jokes.
I've never been able to piece it down. It changes frequently.
You've had recently that you bought.
Right now I would say that I have been enamored with Masterpiece Grimlock. Oh,
very so, nice.
Oh, there we go.
Very nice.
It's just, I'm not a picky Transformers fan. I like a lot of Transformers.
I like them all.
I got a little bit of everything in my collection.
So about how many figures do you have in your collection?
I think that last tally is about 440.
Wow, very nice.
Yeah, I'm running out of space.
As a collector, that does tend to happen. That was one of my contributing factors back in 2006 whenever I had my first big sell-off. And Insane Galvatron can attest, I had Transformers in every room with the exception of the kitchen and the bathroom.
And the rooms looked like they had Transformer wallpaper. He had card figures.
Yeah,
like paper.
There was a lot of people that came to visit me thought that they were walking into a Toys R Us. It was that bad.
It's like, wow, when did KB open a location here, and why are you living there?
Hilarious.
But I have to say, it was really awesome.
I remember those pictures. I was envious back then, man.
I think at that time cool. I had close to 2,000 figures.
No, most definitely. You had a ton.
I had all of Beast Machines. I had all of Robots in Disguise. I actually had doubles of everything in Robots in Disguise, including store exclusives, and the ones that weren't released in the U.S., like Brave Max. I had a complete Car Robots line, Robots in Disguise, and Armada. Believe it or not, I actually had everything in Armada as well. And I think that's when it got to the point where, like, I got to thinking... I really don't want to collect every freaking thing that goes out on the shelf that says Transformers on it. And it was around that time, after Energon, I realized, hey, if I keep doing this, I will have nowhere to sleep because I'll be stacking Transformers on the bed while I'm not sleeping.
No, what you do is you get rid of the bed, stack the Transformers, and sleep on those.
Yeah, I could have done that. But that's whenever I got to thinking, I'm like, you know, I'm going to downsize, use some money to pay off some bills, take my wife that I had at the time, I'm going to take her on a nice vacation, and that's what I did. And then I just started rebuilding. And that was me. My fandom, I go by the internet handle Weird Wolf. I always have Weird Wolf and Monzo. Whenever I very first started out on way back on Bot Talk and on transfans.com. Now it's transfans.co.uk. Actually, I had quite a few figures that I just up and repurchased. I think I've owned Trypticon 3 times now. I mean, I think now, as a fan, I collect more what I like, instead of what I think I need. And I think that helps put a wrangle on what I collect. Now, the Transformers Prime line, I pretty much want everything that, that is a character in the show. And I've become quite a fan of, third party stuff. So, I'm concentrating on that too. But enough about me. How about you, Guard Convoy?
Yes. I'm Guard Convoy of TFW 2005, and I'm also a moderator of the TFW sister site, Toku Nation, which is for Japanese stuff. But I've been in the fandom since I was 4 years old during Beast Wars, but I didn't become a collector till 2005. But that's because I got into G1 and I started loving everything G1. And
so I've been for here you, since. It was the year 2005.
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. If I had to say what my favorite figure would be the 2007 Walmart exclusive Big Daddy repaint of the Cybertron downshift mold.
Big Daddy!
And I love the name.
Yes.
That's the character I have most association with because I make comics on TFW, The Adventures of Big Daddy, if you ever want to check it out. And if I had a favorite line, it'd be the Classics, because Classics was the very first Transformer line I've collected. I have practically every single Classics release from Hasbro except Power Glide, because I just don't like it because it's too big for me, because I care about Robot Mo scale. That's pretty much me in a nutshell.
So that's why you want Hercules.
Exactly.
So where are you located at?
I'm in Texas, and year was my first BotCon. And I live about 30 minutes from Natsume, so we got some local collectors on here from Texas, at least.
Oh, yeah.
Finally.
Insane Galvatron, what about you?
Well, for those of the regular listeners that are coming back, you're pretty familiar with me, but for the sake of the new people, I'll just kind of recap this kind of quick so we don't bore the old listeners. I'm in Kentucky going to sleep. I'm in Kentucky just like Weird Wolf. Actually, I grew up in Eastern Kentucky and moved into Central Kentucky when I got older. And, you know, my story is pretty similar to Weird Wolf's. You know, Drawn, you got into Transformers earlier than I did, by a couple of years. Because you had bought all the Beast Wars, Beast Machines. I was just watching it with my daughter, bought a couple of toys. But they were mostly for her because I wasn't collecting yet. I was still married.
Quote unquote for her.
Yeah, I was buying them for my daughter, but they really weren't. That was my excuse to buy toys. And I got into collecting around the time my marriage ended. I guess some people say it might have been a coping mechanism. I don't know. After my divorce, I realized I've got some expendable money. I was being a completist. I was buying everything until I realized I can't afford to keep doing this. And I got more selective, and I've bought, built up a collection, sold a bunch of it, built it up again, sold it again. And I'm currently focusing on what is my favorite line, which is Generation 1. I have a goal to try to complete G1, and until that happens, I'm not really too worried about any other Transformer lines, except I'll pick up the occasional Prime toy because the releases are far enough apart that it's not really financially strenuous to do so. Favorite figure is it's a toss-up. It's between G1 Power Master Prime and the purple reissue Galvatron that Takara put out a few years ago.
I love that it shouts Japanese.
Yes, it screams at me angrily in Japanese, and I actually removed his crest on his head and turned it 90 degrees. I think it looks better.
Much better.
I'm in love with that toy.
Much better. You know, I forgot to mention my favorite line. I too, am a G1 fan, and like I said, I sold off quite a few figures back in 2006. Matter of fact, I sent a shrink wrap pallet. I sold a shrink wrap pallet to Big Bad Toy Store. So if you've bought any G1s, RID, Armada, through BBTS in the last, 5-6 years, chances are you may have a part of what was once my collection. So, but yeah, as far as favorite figures go, I think my all-time favorite is Weird Wolf, simply because he is very simple, blocky, and I love it. The Headmasters, I love all the Headmasters. It's my favorite gimmick. But if I had to choose one figure, it would have to be Weird Wolf, which I no longer own, actually. I has sad.
Way.
But that's pretty much it as far as introductions. I think everybody here has been introduced, have we not? Anything else anybody want to add about their collecting habits, their fandom?
Why can't I find caffeine-free Dr. Pepper anymore?
Because you know, that's the world hates you.
that's all I had to add.
Yeah.
So, listeners, you know, if you can find a way to contact me online, I will take caffeine-free Dr. Pepper if you'd like to mail it to me, if you can find it.
But it may show up in a mess because during shipping it might get popped and it'd be leaking all over everything.
Well, you do it overnight and you do it in the summer when it's not going to freeze.
Well, not freeze. I mean, talking punctured or something.
Well, if you pack it well.
that's what she said. I was trying to build it up for that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. If you don't like that, folks, sorry, you're in for it. let's talk a little bit about BotCon. I know it was about three weeks ago, but since we're renewing our podcast now, and a lot of us actually attended the show, let's kind of talk about our experiences on the show, or at the show, and some of the things that really pop out to us. Who wants to go first? Anybody? Anybody? Bueller?
What do you mean almost all of us went? Did we all go? Is there anybody here who didn't go?
Yeah. Yes, I heard too.
I didn't.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
But he's not a person, so he doesn't count.
Oh, that was cruel. Can we be brutal? Well, since he didn't go, let's talk about it from a non-attendee's perspective first. Cyburn, you want to go first?
Non-attendee's perspective. Well, I was kind of surprised that they didn't reveal much that they hadn't already revealed at Toy Fair. Of course, I didn't get to see anything that was shown at the Hasbro panel, but you know, I was expecting to see Voyager Breakdown, which we had seen images from a different convention, and I was, you know, I was really expecting to see more Prime toys, and so from the outside looking in, I was kind of disappointed when news really wasn't flowing out like it usually does from BotCon. It's kind of a boring weekend.
Yeah, it was mostly about the Fall of Cybertron toys, wasn't it?
Yeah, mostly. Which we had all pretty much already seen.
I don't know, that Voyager Soundwave was new.
Yeah, and that thing was cool. I kind of want to get Soundwave and Sound Blaster.
You know, it's sad. Some of the coolest things that they revealed at BotCon weren't going to be actual wide releases, but rather San Diego Comic-Con exclusives. Mm-hmm. Or at least the variants that everybody wants seems like they're going to be there. Did you happen to see those, Cyburn?
Yeah, I wasn't too happy that we were getting an more accurate Bruticus as an exclusive, because the neon Combaticons just aren't doing it for me. And when they revealed that,
it's not even G2 colors.
Yeah, it's...
Well, it's camouflage for when they go to Planet Crayola.
I like to think of it as, Vegas Strip Bruticus. You know, nice, bright...
There we go.
From what I heard, it's the Energon Bruticus colors. It's the Energon Bruticus colors, from what I've heard.
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess it is. Yeah.
I think the retail Brawl... and the retail Onslaught are maybe a little better in color than the exclusive Bruticus, but man, Vortex and Blastoff being so polar opposites of what they look like in the game is really killing it for me.
Yeah. And Vortex is almost neon red, isn't he?
Yeah, he's red and purple, or he's like orange and purple, and in the show, or in the game, he's yellow and red. I don't know. It's just, I was disappointed. I was hoping Hasbro would get their act together, and they might say they did, but an exclusive isn't my version of getting your act together.
Well, hopefully that'll be one of the SDCC exclusives that is pretty easy to get a hold of. You know, like that Prime, Deluxe Prime with the Matrix box.
Which you can still get, by the way.
Yeah, so, the same way with the New York Comic Con 2-pack, the first edition Bumblebee and RC, those were available for a long time. So hopefully Bruticus will be the same way, that they're going to be plentiful so that they'll survive and be up for weeks.
Yeah, that's what I hope. I know when they really did that reissue G1 Soundwave, for a long time you can get them for a pretty decent price. I almost got them, but Leo Convoy won out, being a Beast Wars guy.
Guard Convoy, your thoughts... from BotCon?
Well, this year I was a first year BotCon goer, but I had waited 7 years to go, so I was pretty pumped to be there. If I had to say anything about the convention, the actual convention of it is pretty boring. There's not much to do, because I've been to several conventions, mostly ACON in Dallas. This is an anime convention. And compared to ACON, there's not much to do, but the people at BotCon make it worth the price. Because it was a fantastic time, and I'm looking forward to try to make it back next year. But compared to what Hasbro revealed, it was pretty light stuff. But the coolest thing to come out of it was that MP10, and the fact that it's going to have a trailer defies all logic, and period. Because it's surprising Hasbro can bring that figure with trailer for a reasonable price. But it's probably still going to be about $100 at Toys R Us.
Yeah, that's what I'd heard. It's shown up in Target on some websites for in Australia. Maybe not Target, but Toys R Us. And I think the price they're asking is like $150, which they say, usually when Australia has something for $150, it ends up being like $100 in the U.S. So.
Yeah. But for the most part, BotCon was a fun time, and I'm looking forward to it again. There wasn't... Like I said, the main reveal I liked was MP10, and then the Fall of Cybertron kickback. But that's because I love insects, because I love the Bugmen. But
you like incest?
Insects.
Oh.
Yeah, it's sex.
Oh.
Like insects.
Oh,
I'm not in Arkansas here. I'm in Texas.
And we just lost all of our Arkansas listeners.
For what it's worth, I omitted the 2 years I lived in Arkansas before I lived in Texas. But I'm going there tomorrow, you guys. I'm going to go drive up there. We're going to shoot a commercial.
Yeah, I forgot about MP10. That was a pretty surprising reveal that it was come with a trailer. And I was actually pretty happy about that, except that I don't have a Toys R Us anywhere near me.
Yeah, I had the same problem, because Toys R Us is about an hour or two away from me, so...
No, it's not. Come up to me, I'll take you down to Toys R Us.
All right.
So it's 40 minutes if I... Okay, I drive down to your house, 30 minutes. from your house, it's going to be 30 minutes back to my house, 10 minutes south, 40 minutes. There you go.
Okay.
40
okay.
minutes. There you go.
Well,
and the best thing, MP10 is going to be incest free.
Exactly.
I don't
Safe
know. Roller goes up in the trailer.
Oh.
Probably doesn't repeat
it. The trailer
too.
Plugs into Prime. It's all the same guy. Is it incest if it's the same guy, though?
No, that's is Roller considered the same guy?
It's self
And in G1, they were. It was all like three components, but they were all three part of Prime.
So
there was the episode where they had to fire those yellow things at him.
So essentially, Prime is screwing himself.
With a threesome.
Wow. Talk about an out-of-body and an in-body experience, you know? Repeatedly, maybe? That's me. You had a rather unique perspective on the convention as a costumer. Can you tell us your thoughts on that, on the convention?
Yeah, I think we always do. We wake up early on, sometimes earlier than the other people who are going down to see the show, and we get ready, all dressed up, and we take pictures with people. We make people happy, but just by being there for several hours, and you can't explain why we love costuming or why we go to the conventions and dress up for people, other than it's just so much fun. And Guard Convoy said, I don't feel bad when I'm in costume, half the weekend, because I don't feel like I'm really missing anything. If I really feel like, oh, somebody runs up to me and, oh, you missed the mammoths, can't even remember
Ultra
his name
Mammoth.
Right now. Yeah, Ultra Mammoth, and they'll be like, oh, well, I can go look it up online later on. I didn't feel like I missed anything, because I'm having so much fun out on the floor, taking pictures with everybody, and...
I actually missed the announcement of Ultra Mammoth myself, because that's whenever I was helping you with your costume.
Yeah, that was
but
when
I don't regret that. No.
We had that costume malfunction right outside right outside there.
Yeah, we could hear all the hooping and hollering from outside the door, but we're like, what's going on in there?
Yeah, we needed X-ray vision, look through the door.
Yeah.
Bad part was that was the club panel where you're expecting to hear lynching going on.
Yeah.
After the credit card debacle. So like people are actually cheering in there? What happened?
Yeah. Well, they deflected that awfully quick, didn't they?
Because of Ultra Mammoth
and
Scourge.
Well, they talking about BotCon and the credit card fiasco, we would be remiss if we didn't mention that. And St. Galvatron, you want to give us a little backstory on that for those who don't know that might be under a rock?
Basically, it was if you ever ordered anything from the club, whether it was club toys, club membership, signing up for BotCon, if you ever gave the Transformers Collectors Club your credit card information through their website for any reason, there was a chance it would be compromised. Because what happened was their site, the database got compromised, so somebody got all that information, and it wasn't just credit card. They got your address, your email, passwords. I mean, they got all that stuff.
My cat some people is leaving his butthole.
So not only did people have credit card fraud, where mysterious charges are showing up on their credit card, but also some people were getting spam texts and telemarketing calls because they got everything. Everybody was pretty mad at the club over that, because initially they tried to deny that it was through their site. They're like, oh, it's just coincidence. You guys have shopped somewhere else and been hacked. But then as more and more people came forward on the net, hey, I got hit too. Same credit card I used at the club. Some people had a card that they'd only used at the club, and it got hit. And so they kept trying to deflect fault. And then finally, they came in the middle. Yeah, their site got hacked. A lot of people were cheesed off. This is what we mentioned earlier about bribing Mariah Baby to come back to BotCon with by me making a costume, is because she was, because of all that, she was, said she's done. She's not going to come back. Everybody was expecting the TCC panel to be a train wreck, because everybody was going to be there with the credit card issue, but they addressed it early on. They still kind of tried to deflect fault by saying it was stuff beyond their control. despite the fact that they had a website that an 8-year-old with Google could hack into. So I'm surprised it wasn't more of a train wreck. They supposedly have a new site. It's supposedly secure, but they're never getting my credit card information again.
Yeah, I hope they do PayPal from now on, because PayPal, at least PayPal, you can dispute charges and everything. I think PayPal is a little bit more secure, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, because your information doesn't go beyond PayPal. I mean, because PayPal will send the money to the club. Somebody hacks the club site, they're not going to get any information because it's all still with PayPal.
Yeah, I mean, I would feel a lot more safe if they did that.
I'll do prepaid credit card next time. You go to Target, yeah, Walmart, these places, you can just preload a prepaid Visa. You know about how much the BotCon registration is going to be. We'll find out what the subscription service is, and stuff's going to be all made to order. So it's you've got a window to order in. They're not going to sell out. Find out what the total is. Go get a card, preload it, go home, use it, and that way you don't have to worry about it. Somebody steals that information, it doesn't matter.
If Swindle returns next year and wheels off with people's credit cards, then it's their own fault. I loved your little take on it during the art contest as well.
Yeah, it got pulled Friday night. I'm surprised they left it up all day Friday, but Saturday morning it was gone. For those who are unaware, I threw together a really quick diorama entry where I just basically put a run amok and run about G1s on a piece of cardboard and put a sign next to it that said, auto sales. And then I had like a little Creole guy standing there with his arms up in the air with a little cardboard speech bubble sticking up that said, my card. And then I had G1 Swindle driving off with a credit card.
I'm sure they didn't appreciate that.
Yeah, they actually left it up for a full day, so quite a few people saw it.
Yeah, if you were in the room on Friday, you saw it.
That's funny.
And from what I understand, FunPub themselves didn't actually have a problem with it, wasn't it Hasbro?
Well, I don't know if they just didn't notice it. I'm not sure who it was that was judging. Then again, who knows what you can believe with what they say. I was told that when I went to retrieve my toys that I had on there, I was like, I want it back, just get my toys back. I was told that the Hasbro guys went over and looked at it and objected to it and had it pulled. But honestly, I think even FunPub probably didn't like it. I just don't think they noticed, because I don't know who judges the art contest, but I just think they weren't paying attention and didn't catch it.
Anybody else's opinions on BotCon that we haven't covered?
Well, I'm going to disagree with Guard Convoy, because I think BotCon, the people are the best part, going hanging out with friends, but I thought the con was a lot of fun itself. Of course, again, being a guy collecting G1, I love the dealer room. I don't care how good the pictures are on eBay, there's nothing like actually holding a toy in your hand and transforming it to get an idea of the quality, especially on an old toy. So, yeah. For me, the dealer room is aces. The Hall of Fame dinner, I've enjoyed it every year, except the year we paid $45 for cold popcorn, but had that been free, I would have loved it
that
too.
That sucked.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Hall of Fame. The casino night's always fun, even though I'm not going to win anything. It's fun just to go play and hang out with friends. So, I mean, I really enjoy the convention. I think a lot of the stuff, the panels, when I was first time going, I got excited about seeing some of the voice actors and stuff, but, anymore I've seen the voice actor panels so much, unless it's a new voice actor I haven't seen. I really had no desire to see Peter Cullen.
They're actually having a lot of repeats the last couple, 3 years. So
yeah, I don't necessarily go to those panels, but if you've never been, they're a lot of fun because they'll tell a lot of jokes and they'll tell a lot of stories. Again, I've heard most of those stories, so I'm not interested. But if you've never heard them, they're great. So, I think the convention is a lot of fun. I think I don't want just kind of be a counterpoint for our listeners who are thinking about going. If you like the voice actors and you want to get a chance to hear some of their stories, they're totally awesome panels to go to if you've never been.
I side with Guard Convoy on the fact that the experience with if you can go with friends, BotCon is the ultimate experience as a Transformer fan, because with friends and the people that you meet at BotCon, honestly, I didn't even know Guard Convoy until BotCon this year, and I'm glad to have met him. And it's because of instances like that that makes BotCon so uniquely fantastic. And this year, because of things that went on in my personal life, I wasn't even going to go. I was just perfectly resigned to sitting here at home and you know, chilling and saving money and everything, and just following the news on the interwebs, and you know, through friends and everything, I was actually able to go this year. You know, it hurt me financially a little bit more, but you know, it was worth it. I think just the experience. And if you've never been to a BotCon, go, because you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't go. If you are just a fan of the shows, the movies, the books, comics, there's something for everybody, not just toys. Granted, for me, the dealer room is the best part, because you get an opportunity to actually see figures that you maybe have never seen in person before. You know, I don't think I had ever seen a Grand Max until I went to a BotCon. You know, it's just, you know, the instances like meeting fans, BotCon is just a fantastic experience. Yes, there are some negatives, like you alluded to in St. Galvatron, about, you know, if you've been a number of times, I think this was my sixth con, you know, a lot of the stuff is repeat. Not to discount the voice actors themselves, but I mean, once you've met them and heard their stories, the panels kind of lose a little pop. Now, if it's a new voice actor, great. You know, hear something that they have. Like Buster Jones this year, I really wanted to hear him, but from what I understand, I really didn't miss that much, because he didn't even remember doing Blaster.
Hi, I'm Doc.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think when they called him to offer him that, you know, the money, because he basically said he came because they offered him money. And I think they probably said, hey, we're, you know, this is Fun Publication. It's the home of the Transformers and G.I. Joe Collectors Club. And he probably caught the G.I. Joe and thought, and that's what he remembered. Oh, I did Doc on G.I. Joe. And I think he thought he was at a joke on.
Yeah. But, you know, aside from that, the dealer room's where it's at, and just hanging with friends. You know, the product reveals seems to me like Hasbro is doing less and less at BotCon and saving it all for San Diego Comic-Con and even the New York Toy Fair. Which is actually, if you ask me, it's a little bit unfair to us, because BotCon is a convention. It might be smaller than SDCC, but you have 100% of the fandom that is there, 100% of the attendees that is there for Transformers. Yep. You know, give us the news first, because we're the ones that's going to appreciate it the most. Not just a bunch of people that may like Transformers, but they're there mainly for Marvel Comics or hentai, for all I care. You know,
oh, Japan.
Yeah. But, you know, I think Hasbro needs to load it up a little bit better as far as news goes and reveals for BotCon. I wish they would do that. The other panels are mildly amusing, like the fan entries, as far as the video entries.
That's fan films.
Yeah, the fan films are pretty great. I mean, there's some crap, but there's some real good stuff in there too. And like I said, the costuming, just seeing all the costumes that's out there. There was an animated Swoop that was walking around. That was a fantastic costume as well. You know, I mean, just eye-catching things that you just don't see anywhere else. And that makes BotCon worth it, in my opinion. Anybody else? Bueller? Anyone? No.
Sure.
Thank you. I think we covered it.
Yeah. We can go back to BotCon, but anything recently that you've picked up Transformer related? Let's go with you, Natsume.
Yeah. So I got at BotCon a Human Alliance Soundwave, the North American quote unquote release. since it never, I don't know that it was ever was released, but that was, if there is one line that I do collect, it is Human Alliance figures. I don't get any of the repaints or any of the remolds that I don't particularly care for, but Human Alliance Basic, that's what I go for, and Soundwave was totally one I was missing. I have this rule, because I'm not as financially able as some collectors are, where I can only buy stuff if I have it physically there. Otherwise, I would buy stuff online left and right, and I'd be poor and broke. So BotCon, again, another upside of BotCon is that if it's there, I'm not buying it online. I have it there, and I know that I had the money I have in my hand. I can spend it, and it's an opportunity to find and even, you know, compare and haggle for prices. You may find, I mean, we saw like three or four Human Alliance Soundwaves, like North American releases. We saw some Japanese ones too, but we saw like three or four American releases at different dealers. I was able to look at different prices and compare them. And, you know, on Sunday when they want to get rid of toys, they're willing to haggle more. Unfortunately, my toy actually went up in price. I think I saw him on Friday. The lowest was $75. When I came back on Sunday hoping he'd still be there, he went up to $85, and they weren't willing to go down on that. And I wasn't willing to let him pass, so I was like, that's totally cool with me, $85.
Now, for that price, did he come with the tentacles for Carly tentacle rape action? It was in the movie.
If you include, like, you know, the shoulder doors, maybe. You know what? Oh, you know what? I have that trans headband. The headband's hanging off, you know. It's like, it looks like a tentacle.
Is it a Carly action figure?
And then when you transform him, it's going to be sticking out of the car mode, so.
Nice.
I mean, that scene in that movie was like Kiss Players Legion all over again.
I still want a toy of that.
I think it was just pretty much would have been a recolor of Decepticharge, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
He had a kind of Megatron-looking head.
Yeah, pretty much.
And if that were released now, we'd get a third-party release with the phallic tongue. Come on, we've all seen that art panel from the comic book.
Yeah.
You know, for kids!
Yeah.
Oh, Japan.
I love you, Japan.
We tend to say that a lot. Oh, Japan.
Yes, there's that. And then I'm pretty poor right now because of BotCon from the trip and everything. But yeah, that's pretty much my only release. And then I'm saving up for the SDCC Bruticus. I'm going to see if Mirai can get that for me. That's my big lookout. And then all the other Generations figures I really want because I love the video games so much. I love War of Cybertron. I'm going to love Fall of Cybertron. I know it. I'm going to have to do a video tonight for YouTube because I felt at some point I just wasn't expressing my enthusiasm for the game. I think after BotCon, I have, you know, taken all my reservations. I'm all in for Fall of Cybertron now.
Oh, yeah. That's one thing from BotCon I thought was just fantastic, and I am more jazzed now because of what I saw at BotCon about Fall of Cybertron than I was actually going into the con. I fully intended to pick up Fall of Cybertron when it comes out, but I wasn't as excited about it until I saw and heard things at the convention. For example, you know, we found out that Greg Berger is going to be the voice of Grimlock in Fall of Cybertron. So, and that right there just got me excited because I think Greg Berger's stand-up guy, and I love his Grimlock. I mean, it's, to me, he is Grimlock.
I want a toy of those Dinobots in the game.
You know, well, there's going to be a lot of Generations released in 2013.
Dinobots.
Yeah, hopefully we might get some. But
Grimlock is going to happen because they just brought Voyager class back. They brought it back to bring Grimlock. It's going to happen.
Weird Grimlock.
Yeah.
Knock
on wood.
I agree.
About you, Guard Convoy, what have you picked up lately?
Well, I picked up a lot of off-topic stuff, but I'm not going to talk about that because this is a Transformers podcast.
That's right.
You can talk about that in another podcast, but this one here, just for the sake of time, let's just keep it to Transformers.
I will. I won't talk about the Bugman or the anime, but at BotCon.
Or the hentai.
Or the hentai, yeah. But at BotCon, I picked up a Skybite, which has changed hands from people on this podcast to end up in my collection.
Yeah, it was mine.
Three of us have owned it.
It was mine. Then it was in St. Gallagher's.
I bought it, and then I sold it to him.
Which Skybyte?
The RID Skybyte. It was sealed. But it's not sealed anymore. I had to open it.
It busted out of its shark tank.
Yeah.
And it's kind of unspectacular beyond its shark mode, too.
Yeah, but I'm still glad to own it.
Oh, I love that thing. I love... I've had an argument with a friend about Cyber Shark or Skybyte, and I argue Skybyte at the time.
Well, I also bought a Stampy, which was defiled by the people in the room.
And I wouldn't say the people defiled it so much as the other
toys.
Yeah.
I also picked up on, I want to say it was Sunday. Yeah, it was either Saturday or Sunday. With help of Secret Code of TFW, the eHobby Kiss Play cassette 3-pack with Rosanna, Glit, and Sundor. I literally sprinted down the dealer room, up the escalator, to the ATM and back to get it. Because I got it for $40, and that's a pretty good deal.
That is awesome.
Yeah, I had to make sure I left it because I wanted Rosanna. But other than that, how could I forget? I bought a G1 Macross Jetfire because I love Macross. So I wanted a Jetfire because I wanted that mold. But it's a really good toy. Other than that, I got my Club Runamuck in, but I've sold that. I got the BotCon toys. I sold them. And
all your BotCon toys?
Yeah, I sold them. Before I even bought my Primus package.
That's how we made it to BotCon.
Yeah, that's how I made it work.
But little does the buyer know that they all got defiled by other robots.
Yeah, he doesn't know that yet. Unless he listens to this podcast, then I'm in trouble.
Tell him to listen.
They're slightly used.
They can't wear white anymore.
There will be no hot gluing on this podcast. But other than that, I've basically been looking for Prime toys, but I still haven't found Wave 3, but I'm eventually going to get my 10 Deluxe Viacons. But other than that, it's what I've gotten. What?
Wave 3.
I only want 2 Deluxe Viacons.
Well, I want 10.
I already have 2 first editions. I just want 2 of the RD ones, and then I've got 3 of the flying ones on pre-order at BBTS.
I want 3 of the car, and I want 3 of the flying ones.
I want 10 of the car, 10 of that.
Who cares what you want?
And 10 of any Viacon they make, and you will shut up because it's my turn to talk, boy.
It doesn't matter what you want.
It doesn't matter what you want. Do I need to go get Dwayne Johnson on here?
Bring it on. Bring it on. Bring it on. Bring it on.
And the 10 Insecticons.
And 10 Insecticons.
Oh, gosh.
If you're going to troop build, you're going to troop build right. I have 4 sweeps, okay? Okay.
I had 4 sweeps.
I have... I have 4 G1 Scourges, so I have a Scourge and 3 sweeps.
Yeah, that's the proper way to do it. That's right.
Yes.
None of this half-ass get only 2.
And I'm not even troop building the Generations one. I'm troop building G1s. I have 3 Gnaws as well.
Oh, we got a badass in the room. All right, I see how it is.
Too bad his name isn't Billy.
I only have one Retgar, though. I got to get a couple more Retgars.
You're slacking here. You're killing
me. Yeah, I know.
But other than that, that was what I've bought recently.
Nothing since the con?
Well, I got Creo Optimus Prime because I like Creo. And
I saw you gushing about it on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm only missing, of the 12 sets that are out, I'm missing Prowl and the Little Bumblebee to have all the Creo sets that are out so far. And I'm waiting for Devastator because I'm going to get 2 of them because I'm nuts.
Mm. When are you going to find time to buy Hercules?
Eventually. When I'm not buying Bugman and all.
I'm going to get Green Giant. Ho, ho, ho.
Yum.
Yes. Okay, Sideburn, how about you?
Mine's going to be short and sweet. I got Chase Bumblebee. Chase Bumblebee, Decepticon Brawl, and Ratchet from Botshots. And that's about all I've gotten in the last month.
What is it about Botshots? We played Botshots at the con, but, you know.
Botshots Sugar Shots.
Yeah, Botshots Sugar Shots, and I'm diabetic. I shouldn't have done that. I was a bad boy.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I don't see the appeal of Botchots. I bought the entire first wave, and they were kind of cute. It's kind of neat looking gimmick, but I don't. It blows my mind to see everybody going gaga over that line.
I love Botchots. You know, just having them sitting on the desk and, you know, just tapping the front of them and watching them transform, and just they're fun just to have sit there and mess around with when you're bored.
I know what it is. You love those for the same reasons I love the G1 Jump Starters.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's just
they're fun. Transforming. They're a transforming stress ball, pretty much. They are fun, and they look cool, and they look cool on the shelf. You got a little chibi Optimus Prime.
I just bought a bunch of repro label Autobot and Decepticon symbols, the mini ones. I'm gonna take off their game stickers and stick them on the on
that's
their chest.
Just yeah. That's racist.
See, they can have three racist factions. You can have the regular faction, the Shattered Glass faction, then some random other faction that you want them to be part of. Yeah.
Mini Con!
You can swap between
there
them.
There you can.
The Tentacle Hentai faction.
Kiss Play.
Yeah.
Oh, Japan.
Yeah. That should be the Kiss Play insignia, as just a black outline of Tentacle.
I wish I bought a Tentacle so bad at BotCon.
I thought you were going to find one.
I tried, but they were all too little expensive than what I wanted to pay.
Or you could just go to BBTS. I'm sure they still got the complete combiner for like $30.
Yeah, I'm probably going
to
get one of those.
They're trying to give those things away now.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, they got like 10,000 of them in, I think.
Yeah.
So much so that they've actually sold a bunch to other stores. I think TF Source has some, and...
Yep.
I think Captured Prey even has some, you know, and it says right on the box, Big Bad Toy Store exclusive. It's not exclusive if other stores carry it, but
it's
just
like all those Toys R Us exclusives.
yeah. It's just, they just got so many of them. They just can't realistically unload them all. So, they kind of pimp them out to other people. Has everybody else gone? I don't want to step
on. I have
on
not it. Gone.
Okay, you can go.
Because I talked.
Okay, now enough for you.
He's not important.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, I haven't really bought that much since BotCon. I think I did pick up a Cyberverse Legion breakdown, but I'm more excited about what I got at BotCon. Again, I had a chance to pick up a lot of G1s. Spent pretty much my entire budget, but I did well because I sold my BotCon set and my exclusives on eBay, and, you know, made back some of the money I spent, so it worked out pretty good. I'd have to say the probably the most impressive things I picked up that I'm really proud of were the 100% complete Bludgeon, and he was in mint. I mean, his white was bone white.
No pun intended.
Yeah. and I also picked up the Trigger Happy and Misfire that I needed 100% complete. Although Misfire's fist did break before I got him home, but I picked up. Yeah, I went to transform into jet mode, and when I tried to fold the fist up in, it like cracked off around the post. But as soon as I came home, I went on eBay, found a body only with a scatter shot, both in the auction together, for like $20. So it swapped out the fist, so he's good to go. And now I have an extra scatter shot, which poses already.
And actually, I think that scatter shot may be in our podcast logo. So,
yes.
Yeah. If you have a iPod or iDevice and can see the M4A, you just look at your screen and see that scatter shot.
And then I also picked up, two toys that I had as a kid. I've got like maybe five toys of my childhood that survived. Two of them were a Target Master Needle Nose and Headmaster Siren, and they were both in horrible condition. Well, I picked those two guys up like mint and complete at the con, and I was so excited for those. But probably the best thing I got was the Arms Micron from the Skywarp. Mariah Baby had bought a Skywarp. She didn't want the Arms Micron, so I traded a toy that I had she wanted for it, and I put it together, and I think it was our Tony was looking at it, because it turns into like a throwing star, into a drill, into like a bull. And she was looking at it, just kind of flipping stuff around, and all of a sudden she goes, "Hey, it looks like a llama." So it became the drill llama that we played with all week. Had a good time. So that's probably like the best thing I picked up, even though it was like the cheapest thing I picked up.
And now I want that just because it turns into a llama like thing.
And yeah, I still have the sprue. I still have the sprue.
You still have the llama mama.
the llama mama.
Yeah, that's where the llama came from.
I want that Skywarp is cool in itself.
So that same picture that Neron mentioned with the scattershot, having some activities, the llama is watching. So if you're able to see a picture,
the llama is. I didn't even notice.
Yeah. Yes, llama is in that picture.
Fun for the whole family.
So it's a bull, but we found the llama mode.
And the waitress at Hofbräu, just down the street from where the convention was there in Dallas, she, to her dismay, she saw the llama witnessing things, too, on our dinner table.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Did Mira ever post those images on Facebook or anything?
I don't know if she...
I missed them.
Posted them on Facebook. They were on Twitter. I know she tweeted some of them.
Tweeted them?
Okay.
Yeah, she tweeted them. She twat them. She twat them.
Oh, God.
Oh, Japan.
That's about the only time during the convention I was sort of separated from you guys. I got, the opposite end of the table or the room or whatever.
Yeah.
That's when I had to go home early. It sucked. I didn't want to leave.
You missed that night, didn't you?
Yeah. I had to leave.
Llama ended up in potato salad, and...
I saw that picture.
Yeah.
Hmm.
The llama's everywhere.
I've actually got a few on my phone, but I didn't post them for all to see, though.
That's your personal collection.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's I'm not going to go into any more stuff besides my BotCon haul, because anything older than that, I'm not really too worried too much about.
Yeah, BotCon kind of a cutoff. You know, it's 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. I will throw this out there since we're on our toy pickups during the hiatus. That's one thing that Duran, you and I both did was cut way back on our Transformers collections since, the last episode for our longtime listeners. We both sold a butt ton of stuff and just really reduced our collections, you more so than me.
Actually, you bought my stuff.
Well, but then I only kept a couple pieces out of it, and then I resold the rest. You needed the money, and I figured instead of letting BBTS make the money off of it, I figured why not me? And then I sold a ton of my other stuff as well. So that's what I did. I just got rid of a ton, and I'm just focusing on G1, and so.
Yeah. Well, my activities since BotCon, I'll go back to BotCon. At BotCon, I picked up a kickover, kickoff, kickout, whatever you want to call his name. I call it kickoff, although on the poster for the... the figures that were right next to the Hasbro table, or not the Hasbro, but the Funpud table where they were selling them, said "Kick Out." Yet when you purchased the figure, it was on the bio card and on the instructions "Kick Over." But everybody else was calling it an homage to the Action Master Kick Off. So, whatever the hell you want to call this figure, I got one. And it's awesome. I love it. It's basically the classics Jazz mold in black with orange highlights and a completely remolded head. And I love it. I actually didn't want that figure until I saw it in person. And I'm like, I have to have this. So... I bought the 2-pack of that, and I also bought the Spinister, which is the repaint and slight retool of the, I guess it's a retool, isn't it? Of the,
no, it uses the Vortex head. It's okay. The alternate Hasbro head.
Okay, so it's, I got the Spinister set as well. It came with Octopunch, and I got that because of some... pending third-party products that's getting ready to come out, and I intend to put them with Spinister and make him a actual double target master. So, I got that. And then I took those purchases and took the Shattered Glass Prime and the Octopunch and traded them straight up for two of the Hercules bots that I needed. I needed three to complete Hercules, and I needed Mad Blender, Neckbreaker, and
Structor.
And the third-party vendor that I got them from did not have Structor in stock, but I was able to trade straight up for Neckbreaker and Mad Blender, and leaving me only Structor to complete Hercules.
This was totally not at BotCon, by the way.
No,
you
it
know,
was,
with
it
that
was,
with that big band on.
Party. Yeah, yeah. It was. They actually had.
It was
them,
in the back alley.
Yeah,
it was in the back alley.
It was kind of like I walked up and had some official product and kind of like looked around. I'm like, hey, I trade that straight up for you. And he's like, yeah, here, like it. I got this good stuff for you, you know.
He opened up the trench coat.
Yeah, he opened up his trench coat. And I'm like, whoa, I'm not into that kind of thing. And he's like, no, you like this big green thing right here. And I'm like, whoa. No, and then he pulled out both the Hercules bots. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll take that. And he's like, are you sure? And I'm like, no, the bots. And yeah, that's what I got. And
Legion?
Huh?
Was it Legion?
No.
Oh, Japan.
but yeah, I picked up Mablender and Neckbreaker. They are awesome. And
yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah. And I taunted Guard Convoy with them, who I guess hadn't seen them in their awesome beauty until BotCon, and now he wants them. You know you
of
want
course.
Them.
Yeah.
You know you want them.
Yes. I do.
Happy Hercules. I'm going to get Green Giant. Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho. Green Giant. You know, and a lot of people, let's say this for the third party discussion. I know we'll mention Hercules a little bit when we're talking about Green Giant. But also at BotCon, I picked up, I was a little bit broke at the con, so I borrowed a little extra money and got Stepper, United Stepper as well, which, you know, there's an addendum to that. I have Stepper, but I do not have it currently in my possession because I rode back with Captured Prey. The owner of Captured Prey is a mutual friend of ours. And so I hitched a ride back with him in the van, and it's quite a long drive from Texas back to Kentucky. And when we got back, it was very early in the morning, dark. Stepper comes in a black box. Guess what got forgot in the Captured Prey van? Yeah, Stepper. So, yeah, he's still got my Stepper, but I did make one purchase since BotCon that is quite huge. I did go ahead and finish Hercules by purchasing Structor. And I have paid for it, but just have not received it yet because he's still waiting on the shipment to come in. And whenever he sends Structor, he's going to throw my Stepper in there with it. So, yeah, that's...
Why couldn't you have left that Stepper in my suitcase instead of in that van? How dare you?
Well, yeah, that Stepper is just... It's such a beautiful figure.
Yeah,
I wish I had the money for it.
I'm a sucker for that mold. I love jazz, and I've always loved the colors on Stepper, the gold and the white and the black. And I kind of want to go back and get a reissue Ricochet if I can, because I just love it. That's one
that
of those figures.
That was my very first G1 toy. Ricochet was my... I love Ricochet. I have two of the Robot Hero Ricochet because I love Ricochet and Stepper so much.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to get that United Stepper someday.
Back when Ricochet was clogging up all the shelves.
Mm. Yeah. And actually, there was a Puggle Former. Who was it that was?
Callie,
yeah. These little handmade, I guess what were they, kind of beanbag-like?
They're plushies.
Yeah, beanbag like plushie. They're real small, but a fit in the size of your hand, and they were like caricatures of Transformers. And she had a Stepper. She had only one, and she said that's the only one that's ever going to be made. And I'm like, I want it, but she wanted $30 for it, and I'm like, do I want?
You were broke.
Well, I was broke, and I'm like,
same here.
Yeah, I'm like, I want it, but you know. I can't do it, so I had to pass it up, and she said somebody else bought it. Actually, I think the first day of the con, she blew through those things really quick, didn't
mm-hmm.
she?
Yeah.
I think she was halfway gone by the first day, by
yeah.
the end of Friday.
It's popular.
Yeah.
I follow her on DeviantArt.
Yeah, I mean, just to hold this thing in my, I was picking them up, and you know, most of them were cool, but you know, really didn't tickle my fancy. And then I pick one up, and I'm like, oh, it's Stepper. You know, and I just held it, and she's like, "You want it?" And I'm like, "How much?" And she goes, $30. I'm like, "I don't have $30."
Yeah, me and Duran were drooling over that stepper. We both wanted it. If we could have both gotten it, we would have fought for it, because that thing was amazing.
I wanted 30. I wanted
a Galvatron Puggle.
Well, Wosham.
Well, we don't care what you want. This is stepper talk.
It doesn't matter what I want.
But, since BotCon, my only major purchase was Structor, and that's because, you know, I mean, I have a one-legged Hercules right now, and I had to finish him, you know, because a lot of people, they talk about the expensiveness of Hercules, right around $600 to complete the whole combiner. To me, that's justified because my very first Transformer was the Constructicon Bone Crusher. So Devastator has always held a special place to me. You know, he's not my favorite Transformer, but he's up there. I mean, I'd say he's easily in my top 10. And because of his, because of the connection to my my fandom, I went, you know, gaga whenever they announced Hercules. So, you know, I really don't even regret spending this much on one particular toy. So, I did pick up a few other very small things. I picked up a couple Cyberverse Commanders. I got Cyberverse Commander Ironhide and Dreadwing. And if you have a chance to pick up the Cyberverse Commander, any Cyberverse Commander, if you have not, pick up Dreadwing. The guy is awesome. He is like a perfect rendition of his cartoon self. And I'm really stoked for the Voyager version of it whenever it gets released. But the Cyberverse Commander is awesome. Ironhide is cool, but he's a little bit. He looks cool in both modes, but to transform him, he's a little bit fiddly. He's actually more complex than I expected from such a small figure. I just overall enjoy Dreadwing a lot more, and then the four RTS Legends that. Have come out at Dollar General. I stopped by a couple Dollar Generals and picked up the four of those. Simply because I loved the Prime and the Bumblebee mold, and I'm like, why not? You know, and I picked up the Starscream and Megatron too. So that's been my purchases. Oh, one other thing. I did get a G1 Broadside at BotCon, but I'm not going to show any pictures of it because I have an idea involving him for next year's BotCon that I will not divulge on the podcast until next year. I am going to have Broadside and a lot of G1s in a diorama.
Is it in mint condition?
Yes. Well, it's in used condition. I'll say that.
How are the stickers?
There's no stickers.
No stickers.
It was. Why did you pay for it?
Free, actually.
You got jet.
No. But I mean, you know, Broadside has always been labeled as a brick, but you know, he's pretty awesome. I have to admit, a G1 Broadside, fantastic and free. So for those of you who are listening, kind of put this little note card back in the back of your mind. And if you're going to BotCon next year, I'm going to look up Weird Wolf submission. And, I'm going to have a diorama next year, and you're all going to love it. Or else.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes. Excellent.
Yeah.
now entering the Transformers Prime episode discussion area. If you haven't seen the latest episode, then be forewarned that you may be spoiled by listening further. Transformers Prime, the latest episode was Triangulation.
What a name.
Yes. At any rate, however you pronounce that thing. Any thoughts on this show, other than it being awesome?
It sucks!
I was going to say it was awesome.
Starscream, the win.
Knockout is the sex. Just saying.
Yes.
Just saying.
So we're talking about the whole of Transformers Prime?
Just the episode Triangulation. We've been digressing. Anybody have any thoughts on it other than it being awesome? And we've already established that.
Knockout.
I was going to say the MacGuffin hunting is really interesting. I like the way they are using names that are relevant to collectors, like the Apex armor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I really like that, too. I just wish it had been a lot more Power Master Prime looking.
A nod to the name, because the armor itself was more reminiscent of like Iron Man.
Yeah, it looked like the Iron Monger. Yeah.
Tony Todd as Dreadwing continues to be amazing.
Yes.
And that's easily one of my favorite parts of Prime lately is Dreadwing. Just the character as a whole. He's just fantastic.
Oh, yeah. He sounds so much like Tigatron.
I thought at first it was the voice. I was like,
actually,
wait,
Tony Todd was the voice of the Fallen Revenge of the Fallen. And then he's also, for you Star Trek fans, he was Worf's brother Kern in Star Trek The Next Generation and also Deep Space Nine. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a Star Trek and a Transformers tie now. But, I think Dreadwing, Tony Todd as the voice of Dreadwing is a fantastic little thing that they've done. I don't think they could have chose anybody better for him.
Yeah, I'm really loving, you know, Dreadwing. It really makes up for the fact that they killed Skyquake off so fast.
Yeah, and I was kind of sad about that, because, you know, just looking at the character model for a Skyquake, and you're like, oh wow, that could be an awesome toy, and then he like dies in that episode, and you're like, okay, maybe he won't be a toy.
Oh, we got to catch him.
Yeah, well, that's true.
That doesn't mean no toy.
Skyquake now the repaint of Dreadwing, quote unquote.
Yeah.
I mean, it just makes more sense being that Dreadwing is more relevant at the moment. Mm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was. Yeah, you know, I thought it was kind of interesting, being that we're gonna go on and talk about Optimus Maximus next, because they were talking about how, you know, some of the concepts in the toys were gonna be kind of relevant to the show, which hasn't exactly proven to be true. But the thought of, you know, Transformers having exoskeleton armor it seemed kind of interesting.
It's interesting, but at the same time, you're like, do they really need it? I mean, they're armored robots as it is. Yeah. You know,
more armor. The thicker the armor, the more durable you are.
Yeah
but then
said.
we've also learned that they actually have the possibility to lose transformation. And
yeah.
So getting some extra help elsewhere, it makes sense, and knowing that Transformers now aren't able just to be put back together, you know.
Anybody want to kind of give a quick overview? Do you remember enough? I mean, it's been almost a week now since I watched the episode.
Yeah, I just watched it last night.
Okay. Kind of give a quick overview of the episode.
So we're coming back to them searching for the four relics that were uncovered when the Nemesis went AWOL on Megatron after he gave it Dark Energon. And so this is the second episode in this quest for these relics. And in this one, Optimus splits up from the rest of the Autobots and goes to Antarctica. to find this relic, and Megatron sends Dreadwing along with some Viacons to go and collect the same relic. So once again, Optimus Prime and Dreadwing are sort of facing off and having their talks about, you know, Dreadwing joining the Autobots. And they're searching for, it turns out, Apex, this relic called the Apex Armor. But at the same time, Starscream has seen that his fellow Decepticons are splitting up all across the world. And he gets interested. And so he goes after it. And during the course of the events of the episode, he gets a hold of the Apex Armor. And just starts kicking the crap out of Optimus Prime and Dreadwing. And so they're forced to work together to defeat Starscream and his new Apex Armor. And it ends with Starscream taking a walk on the bottom of the ocean.
Something I'd like to point out in the synopsis that I didn't catch on the, you know, the first time through, but I think it was the beginning of last episode that, you know, after the they had the corners for these four artifacts, and they said they were going to split up to try to get them all. The last two episodes and the next two episodes are happening concurrently, which is why you won't see any crossover of characters from one episode to the next. Like, there was no knockout in this episode because he was, you know, in New York going after the phase inducer that Bumblebee ended up with. All these stories are happening simultaneously.
So basically, Prime probably pretty much will not be in the next episode.
Right, because while Prime was in the Antarctic, Bumblebee and RC were in New York, and then somebody else will be, I think the next episode we've got Ratchet and Wheeljack will be wherever they're going, and then that'll probably leave Bulkhead in the final episode. Because they've split up, so we're seeing each
set of robots. It's Bulkhead versus Megatron in the one episode.
Yeah, so these are all happening at the same time. It's not like, well, hey, why did Prime go by himself when he brings somebody else with him? Well, they split up, so these stories are happening at the same time, which I didn't catch that on the first viewing of these, but then I stumbled across that information, and it kind of makes the episodes a lot cooler.
Yeah,
I agree.
Same way.
Yeah, because if you didn't catch that, you would kind of wonder between the episode before it and the episode after it why all of a sudden Agent Fowler was incapacitated again. Because at each episode, they referenced him being out of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's an interesting way of going about it. It's not exactly a four-parter, but in a way it is.
You know, I'd almost like to take four episodes and edit them together into one long episode and just kind of, you know.
I could actually see them releasing these four episodes in a, like a DVD or something.
Yeah, I can see Shout Factory doing that.
Yeah. Well, not just you know, like a Shout Factory. Well, I mean, it'd be a Shout Factory release, but they would like include it on like a, maybe a mini DVD. I don't know if they could fit that much on a mini DVD, but just, you know, like put it in a, as an add-in with a figure, you know, kind of like
one of the entertainment packs.
Yeah, like kind of like they did with the entertainment packs or even the Cyberverse figures that has a DVD in it. That had an episode of Prime, so yeah, I could kind of see them doing that. Maybe with Dreadwing, you know, who knows? I guess that's about enough for Prime for now. Needless to say, it was another awesome episode. Me personally, I think this is one of my favorite, if not my favorite, series so far. I think Prime is just so awesome. I mean,
these.
Yeah, it is the bee's knees. And
the bee's vocal.
As much as I know this sounds like being a heretic, but as much as I love G1, I think I'm liking the Prime show better.
Blasphemy! Where's the stones?
Yeah, I have them. They're right here.
Yeah.
Those stones. Yeah.
I'm going to say if they keep on this track, it's going to be hard to not say that it's better than Beast Wars, and I love my Beast Wars.
Yeah.
To me, it still has a long way to go before it can be Beast Wars and animated for me, because those are my two favorite. But I also love Master Force and Victory, but for a whole different reasons. But to me, so far, Beast Wars and animated are still the best, with Prime just behind them.
Yeah, I agree. But like characters like Megatron and Starscream, oh my goodness, they're just... Every week I want to come back and see more of those two characters.
I mean, all of them. I mean, Jeffrey Combs is Ratchet.
Yes.
I mean, oh my gosh, that's just so awesome. At first, I'm like, Jeffrey Combs is Ratchet. How's that going to work? But now that I've seen him, I really couldn't imagine anyone else being Ratchet, or at least this version of Ratchet.
I'm watching Star Trek Deep Space Nine, marathoning it, and every time Wei Yun comes on, all I can think is, hey, there's Ratchet.
Yeah. But, I just love this show. I mean, every week I eagerly look forward to the episode. It's the first time since probably Beast Wars Beast Machines that I've actually looked forward to the next episode of Transformers airing, because the show is just that interesting to me. To be honest, the whole Unicron trilogy, even R.I.D., R.I.D. was all right. The Unicron trilogy, in my opinion, was garbage. I just didn't like it.
Toilet paper.
Yeah, and animated, I just didn't get to see a whole lot of it beyond first season because of the way they aired it. I went to streaming television rather than just paying for cable or satellite, so I lost the ability to watch it on television. And with that, you know, we now have the benefit of people that encode it and upload it, so that is helpful.
Yes, because I don't get the hub.
But I just love that show. I can't say enough about it and praise about it. The voice actors are all perfect. I don't think there's any bad voice acting in this show at all.
Yeah, the voice acting in the show is some of the best we've ever gotten. It's just fantastic. That's the best part of the show, is the performances given by the voice actors.
Well, and go ahead.
Yeah, like Jeffrey Combs, like you said, the voice of Knockout, which is one of my favorite voice actors. I hate forgetting his name.
But Alec Baldwin?
I'm
sorry.
Breakdown, yeah. But Knockout. The voice actor, the person who plays his voice, is a huge part of my childhood because he was in Fairly Odd Parents and all. But
yes,
I just love Knockout so much. And then
was he in Fairly Odd Parents?
Dinkelberg.
Oh, haven't seen that show in forever. I couldn't remember.
Dad. He was Timmy's dad.
I never watched that show.
Okay.
So. Oh, I have to send you guys a YouTube video. Somebody actually did a shot of Knockout to that that voiceover of him saying Dinkelberg. And it's hilarious.
But Transformers Prime's voice acting is my favorite part of it, I have to say. Because it's all A performances. Everyone's at their best. It just sounds fantastic.
I love Fowler.
Yeah.
Ernie Hudson is great.
and if you just look at the whole, you know, Transformers, quite frankly, I mean, you're a geek if you like Transformers. And if you look at Transformers Prime and the people that they chose for the voice actors, and you have people with backgrounds in Star Trek and backgrounds in, what was it?
Firefly,
yeah. It's just, and Ghostbusters.
And the guy who plays Walter from Fringe did Unicron.
Yeah. So,
you have like A-list actors doing voices for these.
Yeah.
The Rock.
Cliff Jumper.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The most underused character.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's just gush about Prime. I mean, that's all we can do. I mean, I think there's only been one episode I really didn't care for, and that was the clip episode. Yeah.
You know, even that for a clip episode was really well done.
Yeah, it was.
We got a lot of really great Fowler stuff in it, which made it worth it to me.
Yeah. If I had to pick a episode I could do without, it would be that one. But overall, the series is just top notch. And I can see why it's won and been nominated for so many awards.
It definitely surprised me, because if you go back to some of the earlier Geek Existence Transformers podcasts, you'll hear my name drop about not liking Prime, and that was back during the original five-parter, and I was hating on it back then because I thought, oh great, it's just another show filled with annoying children. But
yeah.
I've actually grown to really like Jack and Miko, and And even then, they don't. They aren't always in the front. It's always the Transformers that are in the front. And it's really become a really good episode. Yeah,
Well, show. The human characters accentuate the Transformers in this show, and I think that's what makes them acceptable, to me. Yeah.
But nobody likes Raph.
Raph can still get stepped on by Bulkhead.
Yeah. Raph can suck it.
Poor little Raph. I'm so sorry for him. Yeah. Nobody likes.
Poor guy.
I'm never gonna buy the 12-year-old kid that can hack into government, you know, satellites just because he owns a laptop.
But yeah. Alien robots in space is believable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he can hack into Cybertronian stuff and totally knows all about
that
it.
That comes from being a computer programmer. It's something I can't look past. I don't know.
And he can understand beep boop beep boop beep boop boop.
What that, you know, I hate that. I want Bumblebee to have his freaking voice back, man.
Get Dan Gilvezan to do it.
It's like they're taking away his voice in Fall of Cybertron, and I'm just like,
Yeah, that's. But I mean, at least it has some backstory. There's a reason for it. And,
Tiger Packs.
Yeah, but I wish they would get it back.
I agree.
Yeah.
I can do without the beeping and booping. I mean, it reminds me too much of the mini cons from
R2-D2.
Was it Armada?
Yes.
He's R2-B2.
Wow, you're so original.
Yeah.
The mini cons, you know,
being a fan of the movies, I can say that the beeping is the one thing that I wreaked foisting upon the trans fandom. I'm sorry.
But, okay, well, that's enough about Prime. Let's move on to our next segment, new releases and upcoming releases. The Transformers Prime Optimus Maximus in-package picks have popped up. I hate it. That's all I want to say about that.
I want it. I want it now.
Why?
Because it's hilarious. And it's Prime driving a giant mech suit of himself. It reminds me of insane Movie Prime. It's like the evolution of Movie Prime, and it's hilarious. And
Prime,
hey,
is so arrogant. Like, I'm gonna drive a mech, and it's gonna look like me.
Exactly.
And it's looks awesome as a mech suit? This guy.
Yes. And it's like having City Formers back, because if this does well, maybe Hasbro will do a Fortress Maximus.
Well, I want City Formers, but
yeah,
not
they will
like
have
this.
To from Fall of Cybertron. Can't you see that this is what they're all leading up to?
Yes, so support this release. Just buy it and then sell it off later. But just support it by getting it.
When we first saw the blurry pictures, I was kind of excited about it because I didn't realize it was full of holes. I was going to try to make a new head that transformed and call it Brave Max because it already had kind of the right colors. But then I saw the actual thing, and it looked like Swiss cheese.
It's like GoBots Commander thing. Do you remember the power suits from GoBots?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's basically that, and I love it.
Well, it as a toy, it looks so fragile.
They put so many holes in it. I'm sure it's cost cutting measures more than making it look cool. That it just doesn't look. It doesn't look sturdy to me. I'm afraid if I set it up on one of my shelves, it's going to fall over every time I look at it funny.
Hmm.
Well, if they have the plastic girders correct, it's just like a bridge. I mean, you look at a bridge, it's just a bunch of steel beams. Just replicate. Mm-hmm. It's all about design. Yeah. You can have it full of holes and still be sturdy.
Yeah.
It's just. Something that big that's made for. It's another Optimus that's going to sit on the shelf.
Yeah, I agree. As far as what I've seen, it just reeks shelf warmer. It kind of looks like the Ark that everybody seemed to be gushing over last year at BotCon. I see those on clearance at Kmart now, and they're kind of ridiculous.
You know, it can warm my shelf. I'll gladly buy it because I'm not sticking to muds like y'all.
And then we got to put up with the Bumblebee armor that's coming
out.
Now,
that one's just afterwards. I'm not going to defend that thing because that's just. I'm putting my hands up like, no, no, no. I don't need no Bumblebee mech suit. No, no.
You don't like the Bumblebee mech suit?
It makes sense to have a Starscream mech suit.
Now it does.
Well, you know, the Bumblebee mech suit, if these things appear in the show, if they're going to build a mech suit, there's absolutely no reason not to put vocal cords in it. He should be able to speak when he's in the suit.
Yeah, he beeps and boops into a little microphone inside the suit, and it translates those beeps and
yes,
into actual exactly. voices.
Yes. And you will see just how wrong Raph was in his translations.
and whenever he speaks, he'll sound like kind of like he did in the movies, kind of like an English butler or something. You know, it's like wait, that voice doesn't fit that character. You know,
I wish to stay with the boy.
Yeah,
you went movie Jetfire or whatever his name is.
Yeah,
oh,
he was the yes. one who did Bumblebee. You want him to do
Mark Ryan.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Didn't you get a Revenge of the Fallen Jetfire autograph by him?
Yes, he was at the Lexington Comic Con, and I paid $20 for his autograph, and then flipped the Jetfire on eBay for $100.
Wow, you've already sold it?
Oh yeah, I sold it. Like the day I got the autograph, I came home, took a picture, and put it on eBay, and a week later, it was sold.
Wow, I never even got to see it.
Oh, sorry. There's pictures.
I hate you. I hate you now.
I took pictures for the web page.
Any other new releases anybody else notice that pops out to them?
Marvel crossovers are back. Give me my Punisher.
I actually like those things.
I don't know.
I like the Iron Man ones that I have.
I don't know if you could say they're back. They're being reissued for Avengers, at least.
Well, at least we're getting these back, because the Star Wars ones, they're garbage. They can just go away. They can go sit in the corner and cry and be ignored. But the Marvel ones had some cool engineering feats. Like, the Hulk tank is pretty cool. I love the Captain America Humvee. And I want the Thor, but luckily they're repainting the Thor to get rid of that goddish nasty yellow to make it now black, so it looks good. But I'm still wanting that Punisher remold of the Captain America with a gun. But because of Iron Man, they canceled it and made it an Iron Man. But I'm hoping somehow we'll get that Punisher. And I liked Marvel crossovers. I was one of the few people that did like it. It was just cool, neat things.
I had to choose $15 for a Marvel crossover or $10 for an animated figure, an animated one out every time.
Yay.
Yeah.
I'm looking at pictures of Thor,
and I think he would make an excellent power glide with a new head.
Yeah, or make a Cobra Rattler out of him. Make him a crossover from G.I. Joe, because that's basically the vehicle he is. Thank you.
That, you know, I don't understand. You know, we've gotten Star Wars crossovers with Transformers. We've gotten Marvel Comics crossovers with Transformers. But why not the one crossover series that just begs for a crossover is G.I. Joe and Transformers.
But they got to do it right, though. They got to do it right.
Give me a His Tank Optimus Prime.
I'm talking Transformers that are compatible with like the 3¾-inch figures.
Give me His Tank Optimus Prime in that scale.
That's what I'm saying. As long as it's not G.I. Joe vehicle turning into G.I. Joe character.
Exactly. Then I'm game. Yeah. I'm game for it. If it's Optimus Prime that comes with a Duke. And maybe a Cobra Commander that comes with a Megatron.
That could be the new Human Alliance.
Yeah, I'd totally go for that.
I'm not a G.I. Joe guy, but I'd buy it too.
Yeah,
I would, because I love the scale and the engineering. That's why I love Human Alliance. That's why I collect it. It's that sweet spot for me. And so if they did that, I would probably get it.
Aaron Archer, Hasbro, if you're listening, do eat. You know you want to.
Do it all night long. Yeah.
Bow chicka wow wow.
But that sort of like goes back to like Power Core Combiners. They give us something that no one really wants to try to test the waters and see if people would want something else. And it's like, start with the good stuff, not with the bad.
Oh, that reminds me. There were two other things that I got since BotCon. And one of them was a Power Core Combiner Commander, and that was Skyhammer. I found him at a CVS, of all places.
I found Heavy Tread at CVS right before I went to BotCon. I forgot about him.
I gotta go to CVS.
Yes, they have the last two waves. I don't think anyone has reported it, but the last two waves of commanders have been showing up at CVS.
I need Heavy Tread. I need Heavy Tread in the in Skyhammer.
Yeah. Ooh, I don't mean to backtrack, but I just found an awesome picture somebody did of the Thor as a Cobra Rattler that transforms into Thundercracker.
Yeah, send it.
Because the colors are awesome.
That's what I want. I want a Cobra Rattler that transforms into the Seekers, because that would be amazing.
Yeah.
It would.
Okay. Call it Thunder Rattler.
I look at like, ooh. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Thunder Rattler.
Do it. Give me it.
Okay,
now.
That's a kitbash idea. It will happen. When I find that toy, I will buy it, and I will paint it blue and silver.
Sexy.
Well, thank you.
Sexy legs. any other new releases or anything that's popping out to anybody? That I know since BotCon, it's been a little bit thin on news, but... anything else?
Still waiting for Wave 3.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if this isn't really a toy, like a release, but we did see some artwork for Transformers Prime Ironhide concept art.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks freaking fantastic.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love the way they mushed together movie and G1 Ironhide into one design, and I think it came out great.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Well, that goes back, to the Cyberverse Commander that I picked up, the Ironhide. It's a fantastic design. I love the aesthetics of it and the look of it. I just think the toy's a bit fiddly, but I love it.
I want the deluxe scale. I don't want Cub. I want Ironhide.
Yeah. Notice how the pictures are copyright 2009.
Yeah, yeah. They have to have a lot of lead time to make toys.
Yeah, he said apparently he designed it before they made the toy. They actually made the toy off of his designs.
Yeah.
So they were probably wanting to put Ironhide in Prime in the first place. Maybe, I guess, Bulkhead maybe replaced him or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably because he was red.
Yeah, what I heard was that, I guess, because Bulkhead was so popular and animated, that they decided to bring him in instead.
And also that since Ironhide died in Dark of the Moon, they didn't want to confuse the kids. But then again, at the same time, so did Starscream and Megatron. And they're in Prime.
And everyone
but
else
they're just
for that cutter.
Yeah.
They don't count.
Yeah. So, I mean, that kind of logic doesn't kind of follow. But ultimately, Bulkhead did win out over Ironhide. So I think that's why we're not actually going to see him in the show.
Well, unless they add him in a later season.
Always that.
Be the fan outcry for him.
And it's coming as a wrecker.
Oh, one other thing that we could add in the new releases and upcoming... Transformers Regeneration with the IDW Comics. Essentially is a continuation of the original Marvel comic run from the 80s, from Generation 1. I don't know if you were able to pick up on Free Comic Book Day, Regeneration 1, episode 80.5. I know Insane Galvatron and I both did, and I'm stoked. It uses the same artwork, the same writers, same artists.
The drawing style is the same. They did the coloring is a little more modern. It doesn't have that gritty look that the old comics had, but the art style is the same. And yeah, I'm excited. I read the thing and I got to the end. We actually had gone to a friend's house for a barbecue, and I was sitting there reading it, and you had not read it yet, and. I got to the end. I was like, ooh, I wanted to talk about it. I was like, ooh, hurry up and read it so we can talk about it. It's like,
And I read it, and it was like, crack-a-doom!
This is sort of a soft spot for me and Guard. We tried to go out on Free Comic Book Day, and the comic book shop we went to sold out at 2, and I didn't get out of work till like 5. Both of us, we tried. We went out and we tried to find it, but... Yeah.
So you haven't read it yet?
No.
I'm wondering when they're going to put it up on like Comixology for, you know, the iPhone and tablet apps.
Do they do that for free comic book days?
Yes. Yeah,
I know a lot of the others that I got there are up there available. Like, I got an Avengers comic. I grabbed the last issue that was there, and I noticed, you know, a few days later on Comixology it was there for free.
Hmm.
I would hope they would put it out at least, you know, around the time that they're going to, you know, release 81.
Anybody got the app handy and they can look it up real quick?
Well, I looked a few days ago and it wasn't there. I can look again. Go ahead and talk amongst yourselves while I look it up.
Well, I have never got to read much of the Marvel comics, but when I was getting into learning G1, I always did love the style and what I've read of the Marvel comics, so I'm really jazzed for these new comics. I'm not much of a comic reader because they're not really available in my area, but I'm really stoked for the Marvel comics to continue because that's where one of my favorite Ratchet's from. You've got Bludgeon, which I loved from there when I read. Like, I love the comic characters like Emret Zeron, Impactor, all that. That stuff, that's the Transformers lore I love the most.
Yeah.
And I'm ready for it to continue.
Well, just this episode, or just this occurrence, rather, the Regeneration 1, and then reading this issue has renewed my interest in the original comics, and so much so that I went to the comic shop that we bought, we received our free comic, and I bought 100 bagging boards and a comic storage box, and my entire G1 Marvel Comics collection that I have, I bagged and boarded them and put them up. And I'm missing only 10 issues.
Nice.
And I priced it the other day, and for about $40, I can finish the entire run.
That's awesome. Not too bad.
Yeah, and the most expensive one is issue 80, and I'm pretty sure I've got it somewhere, but I can't locate it. And issue 80, the cheapest I've found it was like $25.
Oof.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm sure that's like a very fine condition, you know, as long as it's complete and not torn, I don't care really what condition it's in.
I'm watching two auctions on eBay. You cannot put this podcast out until after I win one of them.
Well,
this
podcast will probably be published by Sunday night. So, you know,
when do those auctions close? And know that, the free comic book for Transformers is not up yet.
See, I've only ever, actually, I only have the first issue of the Marvel G1 comic.
That and that's
came
one
with
of my
the,
need.
The 20th, well, it came with the 20th anniversary reissue.
Yeah.
Or 25th anniversary reissue of Optimus Prime. And I have never actually sat and read through it.
Wow.
If you get a chance, you need to. I've got them on a computer somewhere, scans.
Yeah,
know.
I have. I've read them on computer as well.
Yeah, I need to get back into it. But if you ever get a chance to read them, read them. What I've read and what I've read synopsis, I know most of the whole story. But it's some fantastic stuff. It's probably one of my favorite comic series out there. It's just fantastic.
I tweeted.
If I could find those omnibuses, I would definitely like to get them.
Yeah, I tweeted a picture of one of the most famous issues the other day. I don't know if you recall seeing that tweet, but I have the issue Car Wash of Doom.
I remember seeing that.
You got to get Bob Budiansky to find that one.
Yeah, that's what I was telling Insane Galvatron the other day. It's like, if I could go to TFCon this year, which I would love to, but I just can't afford it.
Yeah,
I would totally get Bob Budiansky to sign it.
And he will look at you with the most face of disgust you've ever seen, because people get him to sign it, and he just gets mad. It's hilarious.
Does he? Really?
He doesn't.
Remember, he was there at 2010, right, for the induction, and people brought it up in the panels, and he was like, he sort of took that one like as a joke or whatever, right?
Yeah. And he doesn't get mad, but it's hilarious when you give it to him to sign it.
Then I really want to do it then.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds to me like you need to do some other issue, because there's so many of that one that are getting autographed.
But that's the most famous.
Well, he did like the first, 52 issues?
I think so.
55, wasn't it? Because I think Furman picked it up in 56.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, I know it was over half the series that he did. So, I mean, just any of those issues. But, you know, I mean, for about $40, I could finish the line. Although, from what I've been seeing on eBay, I'm almost tempted to go ahead and sell them, you know? I mean...
Well, that was a one freak auction because the other guy would put a freakishly high bid in, and when I put my freakishly high bid just to make sure I didn't lose, I still lost.
Well, there was it that same auction we looked at? Where
yes,
it was already...
the same auction. There was only the auction was for the entire run, all 80 issues, as well as like Headmasters, Universe, G.I. Joe crossovers, and it has everything. And I put in a ridiculously high bid just to make sure I wouldn't lose it, and I still lost.
Let's put it this way. When we found the auction, it was already at 26 bids and had a bid amount of $250.
Which would have been the ending bid if it wasn't for the one crazy guy that ended up winning it, because he had a reserve bid that was ginormous. I'm going to tell you, I put in $415 just to make sure I didn't lose, because I would have thought it would probably maybe go for $300, $350 at the most. And no, it came. I kicked it at the last second. So I kicked back. Said, oh, you've been outbid. High bid $420. But he's out of the way now. So if other than him, the most somebody was willing to bid was $245, I should be able to win this next auction for less than $300. So
yeah. Well, good luck to you.
And it does close tomorrow night.
That's a lot of dough for old comics, old Transformer comics that up until maybe a year ago or less. You probably could have got issue 1 through 80 for $20.
No, they weren't that cheap. I'd seen them at comic book stores, the majority of the less popular issues for 50 cents to a dollar. But those, once the movies hit, those were gone. I remember back before the 07 movie, the comic book store here in town that we go to a lot, they had the majority of them. I was flipping through their old comic boxes, and they had the majority of them. But obviously issues like the first 4 or 5 and issue 80, I think 75 is really popular one because it had Unicron. Some of those were still high dollar, but yeah. You wouldn't get them for $20, but you'd be looking at least 40 to 80 minimum.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I wish I could just find a. Yeah, I just wish I had a comic book store. When I found a comic book store here a couple years back, I started going to it for 2 months and then it closed. I was like, oh, this is just.
Fail.
Yeah.
Yeah, in my area, we got Hastings. That's it. Unless you go to Garland, you get just got, like, Garland has, I'm saying where I am, basically. It's a town about 40 miles away, or I'd say. It's about, or 40 minutes away, and it's got, like, comic book stores. But the only thing we got is Hastings, and there's not much comics you can get
there. I used to live, like, a mile from a Hastings, and, yeah, their comic selection was quite poor.
They've gotten better lately. They've gotten better. But, like, I could get a few Marvel G1s from Hastings, but it's, like, the issue where Straxus kills Scrounge, and that's about it. Mm. I have that one. I love that one.
Wow.
And basically, if it's not a trade paperback that's sold at a major bookstore, I can't find comics.
Yeah, I'm about the same.
I may recommend a website that I've used before, and... their service was tremendous. The only reason I canceled is because I just couldn't keep up with the comics at one time. And essentially, the way they worked, it's a website called Gmart. They basically, let's say you subscribe to 3 or 4 different comics. At one time, I was subscribed to the early IDW comics, the Transformer comics. I was also getting Green Arrow and Black Canary. And I believe Superman, and there was one other comic that I was getting. And what it would do is each month it would be like a pile of loot at BBTS. As the issues came in, they'd pull my issue to the side and put it in my box. And then on say the 25th of the month, they'd take all those comics that were in my box. Put it in a bag in a box or a bag and board. Put it in a box and ship it to me. And they never missed an issue that way. And I did that for about 2 years. So try out Gmart. I really recommend them. Now that's been 4 or 5 years ago. They might have gotten worse since then, but I don't. Yeah, I mean, they're a huge website, so I don't see them getting that way anytime soon. But try them out. I mean, if you don't have a local comic shop and everything, just go online, and they have virtually anything you're looking for, even back issues. Let's move on to third-party discussions. This will be our last segment of tonight. Third-party, little brief overview. In St. Galvatron, you want to tell people what third parties are? For those who do not know?
Third parties are other companies besides Hasbro that make transforming robots that may or may not represent Transformers characters. Yes, or Takara told me they're not third party, but and they usually look like Transformers. They're usually colored like Transformers, and they transform like Transformers, but they'll have like oddball names. Like, for example, instead of Devastator, you have Hercules or Giant.
Ho ho ho.
Or Shot Piece.
And they're also made in smaller production runs because they're smaller companies, which causes the costs to be higher, so they're more expensive.
And let's.
They don't have the limitations that Hasbro and Takara do as far as for what retailers will expect and have to hit certain price
children's safety.
Yeah,
laws.
Children's safety. So they can make the toys a lot better. They maybe a little more fragile in some parts, but they can have more paint apps or what have you because they don't have to worry about hitting that price point.
For example, what was it? The third party company, Fans Project, the Insecticons, the not Insecticons, as fans have dubbed them, they were Backfiry, Stormbomb, and
Thunder Shred.
Yeah, they essentially looked like the Generation 1 Insecticons, only more updated, and they are fantastic. You know, I mean, they're in no way advertised as the Insecticons. But looking at them, you can clearly see that they take design cues and the overall idea of the character and bring it forth in a toy form. And these toys are by no means child safe. I can point at Backfiry, the Kickback, as a perfect example. He comes with six stilettos that are like razor sharp. I have actually caused myself to bleed by poking myself with one of these things before.
His kunai?
Yeah, they are like really, really sharp. And even his wings come to a really sharp point. So yeah, they can be quite, they are very collector friendly, put it that way. I wouldn't buy these for a child who may.
Not at the cost anyway, during kids tend to be rough with toys.
Well, and you can't go wrong with three Insecticon ninjas.
Yeah. But
well, I'd also like to point out there's three different types of third party toys. What we've been talking about mostly has been the full figures, where it's just a whole toy all to itself. Another category are add ons. These can range anything from just new heads and weapons for an existing toy to new heads and weapons and maybe some body pieces to turn one toy into a whole different character, or like armor upgrades, like for City Commander was the trailer armor for Classics Ultra Magnus, and you had Protector, which turned Hot Rod into Rodimus Prime. And then the third category are just straight-up knockoffs. These are other companies that make toys exactly like designs. Yes. most people are okay. The fandom's kind of split. Most people are okay with the add-ons because you still have to buy the official product to use it. The original designs of whole figures, that's the gray area where the fandom seems to be split. Most people are okay with it because they're unique designs. Other people are like, no, still IP infringement. But then the straight-up knockoffs don't get a whole lot of support. Most people trash them because they're pretty much just outright stealing the designs and everything from Hasbro and Takara. So
yeah,
I will admit I own a few knockoffs on some G1s that were near impossible to find mint. It was just easier and cheaper to get the knockoffs, and they were great quality.
Well, and it's not just vintage stuff that they're knocking off too. They're knocking off current stuff like the Eye-Gear Seekers. I mean, they not only knocked off Starscream, Thundercracker, and Skywarp, but they took that mold and tweaked it and made three more Seekers: Ramjet, Thrust, and Dirge, for their own. And that's that mold is pretty much a straight knockoff of. I mean,
they tweaked it a little to get rid of the hip kibble, but it's still pretty much the exact same toy.
Yeah. But you know, I mean, the morality aside, personally, third-party products, I think they do the fans a great service. I'm a proponent of third-party products because they offer something that to the fandom that Hasbro and Takara just cannot. You know, you've got like Hercules. There is no way Hasbro and Takara could feasibly and economically put out a Hercules figure and make money on it.
Yeah.
Because they can't, like Insane Galvatron mentioned before, you know, Hasbro and Takara have to keep in mind what price points these things are going to be sold at. They have to get it, you know, within a certain production value to where they can produce it and make a profit on it. And, you know, where you have a third party company, they don't have to worry about that. They know that they're a third party niche market, you know, that if the fans want it, they will buy it, like the Hercules bots. I mean, you know, we want it, we'll buy it. You know, and the only thing is it's a little bit harder to come by a third party product. You have to know where to get them. You can't just go to a brick and mortar store and pick them up. Unless you have somewhere close by that actually does import them, but
BBTS sells them, and from my understanding, they're going to open a brick and mortar store. So if you're in Wisconsin,
yeah. Although I don't know how Hasbro would feel about them actually selling third party products. You know,
knockoffs, no. But I think that when you get into the legal parts of it, I think there's a reason why BBTS doesn't have the knockoffs, but they do have the upgrade kits and the unique design figures, because I think from a legal standpoint, those technically don't violate IP. It's just that, you know, there's so much controversy and so much stirred up. A lot of people think they do because they look like the character.
Yeah.
But I've actually been studying some IP law over the last, you know, 6 months to a year, and I've learned a lot. And yeah, I think your unique designs, regardless of what character they kind of look like and what color they are, they're for the most part safe.
Yeah.
So, like, I heard Ages 3 and Up used to be a store online. Well, I think they still are, but there's different owners now. But they used to also have a brick and mortar up in Canada that they ran out of, and they were carrying the G1 knockoffs that were identical to the original toys, and they pretty much got shut down because of it.
Hmm.
And that's around the time when BBTS stopped carrying that stuff altogether. But they still carry other third-party unique toys. So I think BBTS is wherever that line is, too, and they're okay.
Yeah. All right, now that we have a kind of a brief overview of what third party is for the listeners, let's talk about the two things that are kind of front and foremost. I know we've mentioned Hercules, but there is another Devastator, quote-unquote, wannabe out there. Anybody has thoughts on the Giant? Green Giant is up for pre-order right now for... Yeah. It was released as a yellow, the G2 yellow colors, but Green Giant is the original Constructicon green, and it's going to be more of a
gift pack.
Yeah, gift pack and wide release. And
yeah, I think the other three they were released in two packs.
Yeah,
weren't they? There was two in each box.
Well, I think the gift pack is there's still going to be the two packs, I would assume, but just sold as
bundled
a set.
Together.
Yeah, I know CapturedPrey.com, one of our supporters here, I guess, he's got it up for pre-order right now for the set, $340, which is almost half of what Hercules was. And he is the cheapest around, at least domestically. What's the average price?
$355 pretty much everywhere else.
Yeah, so saving about $10, you know, $10 to $15, going through Captured Prey. Plug. But anybody's thoughts on Giant?
Well, I'm thinking about going for Giant. It's just, I want Hercules. I've been a fan of Hercules, but looking at my shelves, I just don't have a spot for Hercules. I'll probably still eventually get both of them because I like G1 Devastator. But seeing as Giant is more in scale with Fans Projects Bruticus, that'll look nicer on my classic shelf. I might just go for Giant for that shelf and just had Hercules as its own. But Green Giant is looking good. When I saw him at person at BotCon, I really liked what I saw.
Yeah, for me, it was, you know, I wanted a Devastator, but there was also Hercules started coming out around the time I was getting rid of a lot of my classics and stuff, so I was focusing more on G1. So I really wasn't going to get either. And then the more I looked at them, the more I liked the pictures. Then we started seeing more pictures of Giant coming out as Hercules bots were being revealed and released. And I just, comparing the two, yeah, Hercules may be bigger, but I honestly think I like the look of the Giant figures more individually as far as their vehicle modes, their robot modes, and their combined mode. I think it just, to me, I think it looks better. And that's why I've decided to hold off. And now that I've decided to get one, I'm going to plug down for the Green Giant.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with Greg there on, Hercules' height is amazing, but he looks better, and especially now that he's coming out in green, and being that he's $300 cheaper, it's definitely if I ever manage to scrape up enough money to get one, that's definitely where I would be going.
You know, given the aftermarket values of like City Commander armor and everything, after it's been out of production, these bots are going to go through the roof in value, in my opinion. Like the Hercules bots are roughly $100 a piece. I could see them going $150, $200 within a couple years after being out of production. You know, realistically, I mean, that's just given the example of previous third-party products that were extremely popular.
Yeah.
They'll definitely go through the roof,
and it's not going to be fun, not at all.
So if you're wanting them, I would get them now. I mean, if you get out, yeah. I mean, you might have to squeeze a few oranges and stuff like that, but you're going to have to.
I can't afford both, so I'm going to just focus on getting Giant. And then maybe later in the summer, when I come into some cash, I may pick up a Hercules as well, but I'm not going to hold my breath or plan on it. It just, you know, if I have some cash in my pocket and I get a wild hair, I may pick it up.
Hmm.
Then so, I'll have both.
Natsume, what's your thoughts on Giant?
I'm also really a lot like Greg. As the pictures were coming out for both of them, I was really, you know, Hercules is impressive, but I'm with a lot of the people that I think that Giant just looks better, even if Hercules is like more of a shock and awe and beautiful aesthetically. I think Giant just hits that sweet spot. I mean, and if I had the cash, and again, if I bought stuff online, there's my little rule again, but it's saving me from going broke. I probably would buy both because I love the way that both of them look, and especially since I got to, since you had two of the figures at BotCon and I was able to sit there and toy with them, just for 5 minutes, it's just sold me on them. Just the quality, the beauty of Hercules that we saw there, and then I imagine that, I'm really impressed with both of them. But if I had the cash only for one, or if I only had to get one, it probably would have been Giant.
Yeah, they. There's another thing too that I saw at BotCon. There was a seller. I'm wanting to say it was what was that booth that was right behind Captured Prey?
Robot Kingdom.
Yeah, Kingdom had these little red LED lights for like $6 that had the peg that you could stick in the back of like Hercules and Giant that would shine through their light piping and cause their eyes to glow like really red. And I'm like, I so want that. I mean, it just,
yes.
I mean, it's kind of pointless, but at the same time, it just adds to the aesthetic of it. I could just see myself buying tons of watch batteries just to keep this thing charged. but yeah.
Watching sleep at night.
Yeah.
Ceiling Hercules is watching you masturbate.
Oh, no. There's a photo op that I don't think I ever want to do. But that didn't sound right. But anyway.
But the ceiling cat reference. Look at that.
But Green Giant, me personally, I would love to have a Giant in addition to Hercules. And if he's still available, it's going to be one of those things. If he's still available and still at his current price point, whenever I can get turned around financially, I may go ahead and pick one up. But he's not going to be a priority since I have Hercules complete now. And, he's a want, but he's not a priority. But there is another third-party combiner that has been leaked out, and I think it's by the same company that is doing
Hercules.
This one, every time I see the name, I just have a little childish snicker. But it's Project Uranus.
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 It is Uranus.
Oh, my ass. Yeah.
But essentially, Project Uranus, is Generation 1 Superion, the aerial bots. And the first bot that we have got a sneak peek of with some silhouettes and a blurred out photo appears to be the aerial bot Fireflight. And the detail on this thing looks amazing, even through the blurry image. I mean, you can see the missile pods and just the proportions, the way they look. And I'm stoked already. And I'm like, oh no, I hope this isn't going to be another $500 I'm going to have to plop down on another giant combiner. But, it might come to that. Any thoughts on
it looks like they're going with the Greek gods for the names, relevant. Because wasn't Uranus like the god of the sky or something to that effect?
I believe he ate all of his
children
except for Jupiter, and eventually he killed Jupiter as well. So.
But then Hercules, Hercules was the strong one, so Devastator's strong. So they seem to be kind of picking Greek names that are relevant.
Does that mean that Bruticus will be Ares?
Possibly
the god of war. Yeah.
Yeah, that would make a what would their Minotaur be called? Is there a god of speed?
Mercury.
Mercury.
Okay, so there you go. If our theory is right, which it looks like it is, then we'll see Mercury and whatever you said, Apollo?
Ares.
Ares. Yeah, the god of war. So we'll see if that's what they name the next ones.
Isn't he Mars, though? Because they're planets, so we're going with the Greek or whatever.
Oh, yes.
It'd be Mars.
Yes, it would be Mars. Yeah.
Well, I thought they were going with the Greek, weren't they? Because Hercules was a Greek. He wasn't a planet.
Yeah. I think they're mixing them up.
Yeah, he doesn't.
They're mixing them up, I think.
Well, Uranus was also a Greek god, too, wasn't it?
Was he?
Uranus is Greek. Hercules is Greek. That's what I'm saying is Mars is Greek. Ares would be the Roman.
I thought it was the other way around.
Is it?
I thought.
Because I'm pretty sure all the planets' names, because Uranus is indeed Greek.
I'm pretty sure Mars is Greek, because all the planets are pretty much named after Greek.
That's what I was going to say.
Greek
except for Pluto, he's named after a Disney dog.
Oh, right. You're right. I'm on Wikipedia. Mars, it was the Roman god of war.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, somebody said that Computron would be Apollo. Was Apollo smart?
What would Abominus be?
I don't know. I'm just reading something somebody posted on the boards.
Now, Abominus is another one of those, like Hercules, I would have to get.
Yes.
Because I am just a fan of the monster.
Could you imagine Hunger with a third-party company doing it with, like, the neck joints and everything and those That would be awesome.
Fan Voyager blank. Size blot. Let's do this. A Voyager size monster. Blot.
The nose
and,
monster.
And then we'll have another third party company. We'll release an add on of snot to come out of the nostril.
But, well, I mean, Center Twin would be equally awesome. But, you know.
But speaking of the Superion that's coming from TFC, I'm probably going to end up getting it because I have a problem that I love jets, and if it's a cool-looking jet, I want it. That's why I love Macross, or as Americans know it, Robotech. I love jets, the way they look. So I'm probably going to end up getting the Superion, even if I manage somehow not to get Hercules, because I would love the way these jets would probably turn out.
Awesome. Well, surely. Cyburn 2, you want to tell us about your anus? Any thoughts on it?
Well!
Thanks.
Well, it's big right now, but it's getting smaller. I mean, I think it's... I'm sure I will think it looks amazing, but I'll probably be too broke to buy it. So, it's something I don't really get excited about because I don't have the money for any of this stuff right now.
Hmm.
Like getting excited is just building yourself up for disappointment.
Pretty much. It's hard enough for me to get excited about Masterpiece figures because I know I'm going to have to pay an arm and a leg for them. So.
Well, you could whore yourself out to 1,000 fat chicks for $50 a piece. Or 50 really fat chicks for $1,000. What? Don't look at me like that.
You could,
Like, okay, I need $600 for Hercules, so I need to find 100 chicks that'll pay me $6 each.
I don't want to be a Transformers gigolo. Well, now, if they make updated, if they make an updated Magna Bus or something like that, I'd have a hard time.
Well, if they do all of the G1 combiners, I could see them doing some of the Beast Wars too. It's like Magna Boss and Magmatron. Those would be awesome. But I'd say those are a number of years away. I mean, look how many years it took us to get these. I mean,
I'm still waiting for Beast Wars add-ons. Where's my accurate rat trap gun?
You know, that's something that I'm surprised the third-party companies hasn't touched on is Beast Wars third-party stuff.
Well, there is line art for a third-party Cybertronian mold, Lyo Convoy, and Big Convoy. And if those come out, I'm pre-ordering day one. I really want
them. I'm a sucker for anything Big Convoy. I love that. I love
you
that.
You like it big, don't you?
Yeah, I like it big.
We didn't even talk about Ultra Mammoth.
Oh, yes.
I fell over that thing because I want Ultra Mammoth because it looks like that Lucky Draw Big Blue Convoy. You can ask Insane Galvatron. I almost fell over because I got so excited.
I thought he was going to have a nerdgasm right there on the spot.
Now, didn't this say something about retooling on it?
Not that I know of.
I think it's just straight repaint.
Okay.
I hope it's straight repaint.
I wasn't sure when I was reading it. I thought I saw something about retooling, but I was like, I don't see any retooling.
Yeah, but for the podcast listeners who don't know, Ultra Mammoth was going to be one of the subscription figures for the Transformers Collectors Club 2013. It's Big Convoy painted up in Ultra Magnus colors.
And it is the most awesome thing to happen to Transformers ever.
Yeah.
I'm a little more excited for Slipstream, Breakdown, and Scourge.
The Breakdown and Ultra Mammoth are the three that I'm the most excited about, personally.
Does anybody care about Jackpot? No one cares about Jackpot.
Because I'm an animated nut.
Well, I'll sell you my Jackpot if that's the only one you want.
I have Derek J. Wyatt kept releasing all those Transformers, all the animated designs after animated ended, and that's one that I have in my saved on my computer. I have all those. So to me, it's a little more than just some random repaint. To me, it's a character that Derek J. Wyatt actually made, so to me it's part of animated.
I want to see the cassette manatee.
You know, that's another thing too we forgot to mention is DJW actually came to our room and spent a little time in our room.
He did?
Yes.
That's fairly common.
I, Yeah, yeah. I missed that.
He looked at the Transformer orgy on your table.
Yeah, he actually witnessed your Transformer orgy that you put together. Yeah, he stood there and he goes, "Oh wow, what is this?"
Goes, "Oh wow, why is that one on his knees?"
And then he suddenly realized. I mean, it's like a sudden realization. He's like, "Oh." Oh wow!
And I missed that. No, man, that's just wrong. When did this happen?
That was probably during bot shot shots.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, oh, we did bot shot shots. Yeah.
Oh, that was when. Was that when I was getting sick on chicken nuggets with Proto Man?
Yes, it was.
Yes.
Then it was worth missing. Then that was worth it. But who's excited for Circuit? Nobody's excited for Circuit.
I'll be excited to sell Circuit.
Now, if you took Jackpot and Kickoff and blew them up and put their parts back together, would that mean you had Jackoff?
That was a terrible joke, and you should feel terrible for saying it.
No, I don't. I don't feel terrible at all.
No regrets.
No regrets. Well, with that, I believe that'll wrap up.
Actually, one more thing.
Oh, really?
Yes. Because tomorrow is Duran's birthday.
Oh,
live on the podcast. Hold on, I'm going to get away from my computer.
Actually, it is tomorrow. It is my birthday now.
Oh, it is your birthday. It's 12:02. Yes, we're recording
this on midnight. Maybe where you live, it's still 11:04. I'm not late yet.
Okay, everybody hang tight. I'm going to run to the other room where he is. Just give me just a couple minutes.
Oh, no.
Please don't.
Hey, wait. I'm indecent. You shouldn't. Greg, no.
Can I talk about Bugman now?
Let me put
now?
My pants back on. I've been looking at this Hercules over here, and I'm...
Can I talk about Common Rider now?
Well, while we're talking about, Transformers, there's been some speculation. I wouldn't even call it speculation. It's just something that happens in the fandom, right? So if Knockout and Breakdown got together, they would totally make tracks.
Wait. He's in here now. What's going on here?
Okay, so can everybody hear me on the mic?
Yes.
Okay. All right, this is my birthday present to you. Now that it is your birthday.
Dude!
They can't see you.
Is it what I think it is?
Thank you. It is Road Rage from the BotCon set.
Shattered Glass Tracks.
Aww.
Shattered Glass Tracks. Dude. Does it have a head?
Awesome.
I'm not
open. I don't know. Oh, dude. Thanks, man.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you. That happy is birthday, awesome.
Man. What a way to wrap
it
up.
Wow. That is awesome.
Happy birthday to you.
Blushes. Oh, celebrating a birthday on TFYLP, the first episode of the reboot. Hope you all have enjoyed it. Give Insane Galvatron a couple seconds. Okay. But I hope you all have enjoyed this episode of TFYLP. We're going to do this weekly. Hopefully, Mirai Baby and TFR Cool will be able to join us either next week or in the coming weeks. I know Mirai Baby is currently in the process of moving, isn't she?
Yes.
It may be a little bit before she can get on. But at any rate, we'll look forward to having her on and TFR Cool, who, if you've listened to our podcast before, you've heard him. He's quite good at photography. And he's taught me a few things or two. Next week, I don't know what we're going to have on tap because we're just trying to get this thing rolling again. Check out our forums at www.geekexistence.com/forum. You can also see our archive of old podcasts on there. And come on there and post. Check out transcostumers.com check out the awesome costumes over there. And we hope to see you next week. Anybody else have anything else to say before we log off?
Green
goodbye.
Giants.
Bye.
Goodbye, my children. Yeah.
Oh, Japan.
And until next week. Signing off. This is TFYLP, and this is Weird Wolf. See you next week. TFYLP is brought to you by GeekExistence.com. The theme song Till All Are One by Stan Bush, available on iTunes. This podcast is for entertainment and informational purposes only and is not for profit. Any names, images, or music used within this podcast are copyright their respective owners and is not intended to infringe on said copyright. Thanks for listening.